do our best. Remember, everyone, just don't be yourselves.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm MC Hammer. It's hot, it's summertime, but you can escape the heat by going into the house of God and letting the Lord just breathe on you. Some of that cool air, the breath of God.
What?
You can escape the heat too. Right now, get out the heat. Use the hot sun to be your excuse.
What?
Where I'm going, I'm on my way to church. Get out this heat, man. Call somebody, tell them to grab their Bible. Hammer, deal him with it.
Excuse me, what are you talking about? Gay.
Don't believe anything they say. Allegedly, it's not true.
Once again, I am amazed at the level of blithering idiocy that issues from your pie hole.
No, that's it.
This is so exciting. I wish I cared.
Two cheers for Lisa. Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Now, deep breath and quiet.
Can Ronnie Millsap sing it or what? Misery loves company, and ain't that the truth?
And now,
my goodness, was that a mouthful?
Our feature presentation.
How many times has Lisa said that in her life?
More than I can count.
How many? So that happened.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning. I found my key card. What are the chances of that?
Are you kidding?
I've lost my key card here. I don't know. I was trying to figure it out. Maybe 13 to 15 times.
That is amazing. Yesterday, you were sitting in the office saying, I have looked
everywhere
it could possibly be. Yeah. I have looked. It is gone.
Yeah. That's what I thought yesterday. Because you know how you have to have some kind of organization. Mine is just that I keep it in my pants, in my shorts pocket.
Okay.
That's all I have. So if it's not there, like it might be near my shorts. I might have put it there in my closet.
Okay.
That's one spot. The other spot is at my computer. And then after that, I'm out. Like, if I put it someplace else, I won't find it for months. So then I have to call the hotline, and then I have to have somebody come out and get me. And then I have to sit there and wait, and then they come out and get me. And then they have to walk me in like I'm a little child. And I didn't want to go back to them and tell them I lost another key card. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's terrible.
It's starting to get embarrassing, even for me. Just ridiculous. So I was out playing what's the game where you have the pole and then there's a bowl?
Tetherball.
I was playing tetherball with my daughter.
Okay.
And I guess that's where it fell out when I was playing soccer earlier, but it was literally out in the middle of my yard. Now, I didn't think to look there. Because most likely that's not where it was. But I was like, my key card's here.
Just laying there. I wonder how many more key cards are there somewhere.
Could be like 9, 10 key cards standing around. So that's bizarre, but that happened. And I found it, and I felt good about myself until I opened the gate and came in. And then Dave was on his way in, King of Mexico, and he said, oh, somebody found their card. Like, talking to me like I'm a... You know, short processor.
Right.
Which I deserve because I lose my card every day. But I have this one, so.
All right, I'm very excited for you.
I don't have to get another card. That would have been a very embarrassing thing to do today. I think I'm the only one that they charge now.
They charge you?
Yeah, they finally said, look, we can't give you a new key card every week, so you're going to have to pay for it. So I go, well, I guess I have to come into work, so, and I lost it, so, all right, I'll pay for it.
Oh, my gosh.
So they started charging me.
And you are the only one.
That's probably 6 or 7 key cards ago. Yeah. But, so anyway, everybody said, well, why don't you hook it to your keys? I don't know. It just bugs me.
It bugs you.
It bugs. Yeah, I don't like it. So, anyway, I found it. I'm very excited about that. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
We are going to talk to girls addicted to sex. Now, this is all good, right?
Yes.
This can't be
for
bad.
For you.
Well, for guys.
You mean for a phone topic or you mean for the girls? Because I don't think it's that great for the girls.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not thinking about the girls.
Oh, all right.
Right. No, but there was that story out of England where a girl needed to have sex 4 times a day. Now, most guys would look at that and go, yes, that's my woman. But honestly, when you start thinking about it 4 times a day, 4 times a day, 4 times a day, you know, by the end of the week.
Come on.
You're like, hey, how about three?
And when she doesn't get it, what she wants, she gets violent, right?
She does drink a little in her case.
Yeah.
But we're going to leave that part out because that's not funny.
Okay.
So we are going to talk to people. Sorry, I have gum in my mouth when I figure out. We're going to talk to people who are addicted to sex, but leave out the violence part.
Okay.
Because that's no fun.
Well, then that sounds fun. I worked with a guy that was addicted to sex.
Look.
Who would leave on his lunch hour and go find another guy.
Really?
Yeah. Almost every day.
Is that I wonder
if that's a problem.
It is. I wonder what the level of addiction is versus, like, I think all guys have that that crazy
the drive.
I would love to have sex right now drive. Yeah.
Right.
So when you say a guy has sex addiction, you go, yeah, doesn't everyone?
But then think about that. Every day you're working a 9-to-5 job. Every day you leave at lunch to go find something.
To go meet George Michael in a park?
Whoever.
Yeah.
Some stranger in a park and then come back to work. That seems...
Yeah.
Don't you think that's problematic?
Sure. Yeah, I would think it would be because he wouldn't, you know, he would be late sometimes, whatever. You know, he's still waiting for the guy. Maybe he had a steady boyfriend.
No. A lot of strangers.
Really?
Yeah.
In an hour.
Yeah.
So you leave work, you have an hour to
meet. I guess you know the places to go.
To meet and introduce and seduce.
There's not a lot of that. Really.
You just meet and go, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess there are certain places when you show up and they show up, you know why you're there.
All right.
You can just get down to business.
All right. So, see, that would be, see, so for guys, at least that's true probably of both of them.
But right. For the absolutely.
Most part, let's be honest. For the most part, there are a lot of girls who love sex. But for the most part, I would say it's a decent generality to say, an accurate generality to say that girls, they're trying to get guys off of them a little.
Yes.
In general. For the most part. With some exceptions, of course.
Right.
But not this girl. This girl, man, she needs it 4 times a day. And I believe that if her boyfriend can't get the job done, you know, pinch hitter. You got to bring in somebody else from the bench.
Sure.
And have him take care of business. So we're going to talk about that on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We have Death Cab for Cutie.
Awesome.
Coming into the studio today. Very excited about that. They are going to be here. We're going to interview them. They're bringing a guitar. They're going to be singing. So that's going to be fantastic.
Great.
Always love live music on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have Rachel Nichols.
Oh, yes. Beans love.
Yes, it is. Who's, of course, in Conan the Barbarian, if you listen to the commercials. I don't know why. On the actual movie, it sounds like they say Conan, but in the
because Conan sounds stupid.
Conan. What? Who? So anyway, she's in that movie, so we're going to talk to her. And we are going to talk about waking up from surgery, which Bean had yesterday, which he's very excited about.
Yeah.
And we have your tickets for breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, which is coming up very soon. Mm-hmm. Coming up, we can't really say. There's all kinds of secrets about this one. Like, I'm not even positive when it is. You know, you'd think I'd
they
know.
They haven't told you?
You'd think I'd know by now, but no, I have no idea. But it's coming up very soon, probably within a week.
They don't trust you. That's the problem.
Well, they shouldn't because of the key card thing.
Yeah.
So we got that coming up this morning as well. We'll give you a chance to call in and win those tickets. We'll take a break and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We have your tickets for breakfast with Red Hot Chili Peppers coming up. We also have women addicted to sex and we have some in studio guests from Death Cab for Cutie. How about that?
Very cool.
Awesome.
Performing live. First, though, it's time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph. How you doing, Ralph?
I'm doing well. Before we get to Showbiz News, speaking of tickets, these aren't for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but they are for a very cool event that we're calling the Ultimate One-Day Hollywood Experience. You get to score a passes to a very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of One Day, the brand new film starring Anne Hathaway and Jim Sturgess. And if you win, you also get dinner for two and a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood. You get to take the tour and see King Kong and he does that.
He does that.
Awesome. Yeah, One Day's in Theaters Everywhere Friday the 19th. That's this Friday, but you get to see it before anybody else. If you're one of our lucky callers, let's take the first three callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067.
That was shaky.
It was.
Yeah.
But I pulled through at the end.
We say it a lot, and then sometimes we
sometimes it becomes meaningless. Yeah. The numbers just sound like sounds, and then you forget what you're saying. So call now if you'd like to win.
Welcome to my full-time life, Ralph.
I would not like to live in your full-time life. Congratulations to K-Fed, yo.
What?
Had his fifth child this week.
Oh, that's so great. He's still reproducing.
Jeez.
His current girlfriend, Victoria Prince, the volleyball player, had a baby girl named Jordan on Monday. This, as I said, is the fifth in the Federline line. Kevin has two children with Britney Spears, Sean and Jaden. Another two with Shar Jackson.
Woo!
And, yeah, five. Five children for Kevin Federline.
At least he has meaningful employment, so he can
support
them all.
Looks like he's been eating for five, that's for sure.
He sure has. Yeah.
I know what I have. Like, people, when they hear it, they hear the record, when they see exactly what's put down, then they're going to have to give me respect in that manner.
Yeah.
I envision it. I see it. I know what's going to happen.
We give you respect.
I'm a likable guy.
Yeah. Yeah, K-Fed, we give you respect. Popo Zal, brother.
Yeah, that's him talking about his rap career. How's that working out?
Well, great. Now he can afford to have more kids because his wildly successful music career has taken off. Popo Zal.
I'm not a fan of government intervening really more than they have to, but in this particular case, somebody should cut him off from children.
What? That sounds painful.
I'm just saying, yeah, but that should happen.
Cut them off or cut him off?
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. How about just like a birth control blow dart we can just hit him from a distance?
Yes,
with?
I like it.
Congratulations to Miley Cyrus. She was just inducted this week into the Celebrity Bowling Hall of Fame. How proud she must be.
All right.
Yes. The Bowling Proprietors of America get together every year and choose their favorite celebrity bowler. And she got 42% of the vote. Oh, Miley, congratulations.
That is sweet. She wanted that so bad.
She really did. Miley always hits the split. That is a euphemism.
See, that's a...
Justin Bieber came in at second place for the second year in a row. Poor bastard.
Got beat out.
Look, they don't even bowl the way we bowl in Canada, okay?
Plus,
they bowl like 8-pin or 10-pin or something. They don't even use 12 full pins.
He's like twice as tall as the ball. So he's got those little kiddie rails up, rolls it with both hands.
Other contenders this year, Kim Kardashian, Lil Wayne, Lady Gaga, and Jeff Bridges. How does Jeff Bridges not win, by the way? He's the dude. That movie's all about bowling.
Yeah, that's true.
How do you go with freaking Kim Miley Cyrus or Kim Kardashian? I've never seen them even with a ball in their hands. Well, not a bowling ball anyway. Vote the dude next year, fellas. And while we're talking about Kim Kardashian, she says she has a case of the pre-wedding jitters.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. First psoriasis, now jitters. Poor girl's falling apart.
Somebody help.
She said she has visions of falling or fainting this weekend when she gets married to NBA player Chris Humphries. So she's very concerned. She's asking her stepfather, Bruce Jenner, to be right by her side there and hold her up because the whole thing just may be too exciting.
That'd be funny if she fell.
Oh, it'd be the greatest thing ever.
Just passed out.
Smashed her head on the altar.
I sort of have a boner.
Had a hematoma. And you may not expect this. I know I was surprised by this story. But Jimmy Buffett, which is a name that may not mean anything to some of you, he had, I think, one hit song.
He did, didn't he?
Margaritaville.
Just Margaritaville.
Wasting Away in Margaritaville. You may know that song. He is one of, like, the most connected guys in the show business. Like, has the most celebrity friends, and is just, he's a huge deal. First of all, his tours always rank in the top five tours every time he goes out around the country.
I know, and that sounds impossible to believe in 2011, but...
But he's filthy rich, and he's wildly successful. And he's got some of the biggest showbiz names as his very, very close friends. It's an odd life he leads because he's so off the radar.
Yeah. And how many one-hit wonders have we seen come through and then they just disappear completely? Not him, man.
No. He keeps putting out more records.
He's front and center. None of them are hits, though.
Well, he's got a very hardcore fan base. They buy all of his stuff and they go to all of his tours. And they make him a ton of money.
Wow.
But he threw a birthday party for his wife this past weekend. And this was the lineup. Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas, Jane Fonda, Jack Nicholson, Harrison Ford, and Calista Flockhart were all there to celebrate.
Wow.
And the entertainment for the party, Billy Joel and Bon Jovi.
Huh. What?
That insane? That's like one of the coolest Hollywood parties on the planet.
It sounds like
it's Jimmy Buffett.
A Diddy birthday party or something.
Yeah. Craziness.
Wow.
Maybe they're just celebrating that they've been married since 1979. That's why people show up, because it's such a freak of nature in show business.
Does he live? Do you know if he lives in Hollywood?
No, I think he lives in Florida.
Well, maybe that helps get out of the, you know, for a long.
Oh, that's
life.
Why their marriage their marriage lasted so long. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
By the way, Ralph,
get out of the spotlight.
Margaritaville, not his only hit.
Well, what was the other one?
I'm sorry, I didn't draw a parrot head.
Take it easy.
Let me know what else we got here.
Cheeseburger in Paradise.
All days after. Oh, yeah, Cheeseburger in Paradise. Sure. Figured you would know the song about cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
I guess Come Monday was another one that was a marginal hit.
But neither of them were anything near Margaritaville.
Margarita's the only song that, when you think of Jimmy Buffett, that's what you think of, right? And we're going to have to wait until August 29th, people.
For what?
Until we find out the official list of competitors in the Dancing with the Stars upcoming season.
I like that last year they had Psycho Mike and everybody made fun of him for not being a celebrity, and rightfully so. And Mike himself would say that. But this year, every name that's been thrown out is at his level or below.
I beg to differ, sir. We'll find out officially on during ABC's Bachelor Pad on Monday the 29th.
Oh, I can't wait.
By the way, Bachelor Pad's so good this year.
Huh? Oh, man.
Jeez,
oh,
so good.
Are you sucked into every one of those? Bachelor, Bachelorette?
You would love Bachelor Pad, Kevin, because it has nothing to do with finding love. It's just about winning money. It's just a competition, but they take all of the biggest a-holes from all the other Bachelor and Bachelorettes.
I would like that.
Move them into one house. Make them hate each other, and then make them compete against each other doing wild and wacky challenges.
It's like the Bad Girls Club or whatever that was.
Exactly what it is. A little more highbrow than the Bad Girls Club.
Not much, though.
Because they're not shooting each other and shooting up heroin like they are on that show. But
that's a great show.
It's very entertaining. Here is the rumored list. We're going to have to wait for confirmation, like I said. But keep in mind, we mentioned Rob Kardashian.
Yes.
Yeah. The most famous of all the Kardashians. The biggest star in the Kardashian family.
I don't know that I've ever seen him.
Is being talked about. Tiffany Thiessen from Saved by the Bell and from White Collar.
Okay, so she's on TV currently.
Yeah, she's a star, right?
She's good on White Collar, too. I like that show.
I do, too. Kristen Cavallari from Laguna Beach in the Hills.
All right.
That's a name you'd recognize. Mm-hmm. Chyna Phillips of Wilson Phillips fame.
Okay. Is she...
She's hot. She's the hot blonde one.
She's the hot one, okay.
Yeah. Queen Latifah. It's a name we know.
Yes.
Certainly counts as a celebrity. Christina Milian. Mike Tyson.
Awesome.
How great would that be?
Awesome.
Have him dancing with the stars.
That would be great.
And lastly, Snooki. Apparently Snooki is on the list.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So we'll have to wait for confirmation, but we'll wait and see if that's the list for
Snooki
Dancing with the
sure
Stars.
Does win on the likability factor, though,
she
huh?
Sure
over
does.
All those other people.
And I bet she can... do one of those cartwheels she does where she shows off her kuka to the audience. Maybe they'll give her a special... I think Bruno will give her some extra points for that. Showing her vag.
Today, shut up, Snooki.
Yeah, shut up indeed, Snooki. Today's celebrity birthdays, Mark Salling of Glee. He's Puck. He's Puck on
Puck.
Glee.
Puck. He's the one that turned me against Glee, by the way. Puck
when he
is
came
the,
in?
Puck is the... wait, no.
Mohawk?
He's Mohawk. The Mohawk,
the Mohawk yeah.
Yes, he's the one that turned me against because he tries to act so tough. And mean. Remember when they were doing the Kesha video? And
yeah, but then he discovered his inner glee on the inside, man.
So
he's an artist. He wants to express himself.
They were doing the Kesha video, and the other athletes were making fun of him. He said, you won't think that way after I go TikTok all over your face.
Yeah.
And I was like, that doesn't even make sense. You can't be tough.
You wouldn't want him to go TikTok on your face, man. I'm guaranteeing
Come on now.
Donnie Wahlberg of New Kids is 42 years old today. Gilby Clark, Guns N' Roses guitarist, 49. Sean Penn's 51. Kevin Rowland of Dexy's Midnight Runners. Remember Come On, Eileen? Oh, that was a good day.
Take it easy with that language. First thing.
Kevin is 58 years old today. And Robert De Niro celebrates his 68th birthday today.
Oh.
De Niro's 68. Little bit, I'm getting old. Little bit. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Ralph was doing the Showbiz Beat a few days ago and was telling us about Austin Powers and how they are considering another one.
A fourth
Austin Powers movie. So we had producer Alex try and line him up, and we have Austin Powers on the phone right now so we can ask him a few questions.
Excellent.
Hey there.
Hello, how are you? Good. Yeah, baby, yeah.
Austin, you sound like you maybe you've lost a step in the many years between the movies.
Yeah, that was the setup, baby, that you were going to say I was old.
Hey, you're old. That's what I was saying. You've lost a step. That was my point.
Yeah, good.
See, that's Here's the problem with the...
I make you horny, baby.
Here's the problem with the Austin Powers movies is that that's all going to start again if you do this. If you make this movie, everybody is going to be doing an impression of you, and no one can do it well.
Oh, behave.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't even do it well anymore.
Now, do you already have a script? Do you have a cast in place?
We have another mission we're going on.
Another mission, okay.
We're going to go back in time.
Okay.
To a time before I wore adult diapers. Yeah. Yeah, baby.
I'm not sure the adult diapers is the sexy thing you're looking for there.
Do I make you horny?
Nope, not a bit.
Well,
let me ask Lisa. Lisa,
I just went in my diapers.
Oh, that's not what you want.
Definitely not making me horny.
Much pressure.
Now, now, do you still? Are you still going to be battling Dr. Evil?
Yeah, baby. Okay. Dr. Evil. He's really a drag, baby.
Right.
And I'll make you horny.
Yeah, you already
still
said
know.
That.
Oh, behave.
Right.
Is Dr. Evil now?
Dr. Evil. Is...
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Evil.
This is Dr. Evil, people.
Wow. He's back, but you sound old as well.
I am 1,000,000 years old. I am not young.
You're not.
What I'm saying.
Now, but you've already been contacted as well, and you are in for another Austin Powers movie.
Of course I'll take on Austin Powers again.
All right. I just didn't know if you felt...
That's the evil thing to do.
Right. That's right. Of course.
Along with eating dairy for me.
Right. Sure.
Because that really binds me.
Now, but...
And give me a frickin' break here, people.
Now, Fat Bastard, is he still going to be in it, or?
Of course, my evil henchman, Fat Bastard, will also be in the film.
Okay.
Right here, by
any chance he's there?
Oh, Fat. Fat.
You call him Fat.
These people, will you?
Just Fat.
What do you want?
Well, we're just calling.
Get off my telephone.
We're just calling to ask about a new Austin Powers movie that has been rumored.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be doing that. It's going to be fabulous.
So you're in it as well.
Because we all need a paycheck.
Ah.
We're all desperately broke.
Right.
There's no food in my belly.
Right. So another movie would help with that, with food.
I'm not even Fat Bastard
what?
Anymore.
What are you?
I'm Old Bastard.
Are you dirty?
I'm Old Dirty Bastard.
Okay, good. So this is definitely a go. We got a thumbs up from everybody, huh?
Everyone who can still raise their thumbs, baby.
What about Frau Frizzle? Frau Frobizzle? Whatever her name was. What was her name?
Do you mean Frau Frobizzle, baby?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, no, she's not in it.
Okay. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We got your tickets coming up for the Breakfast with Red Hot Chili Peppers in about a half hour. So keep listening for your chance to win those. Which brings up email. I got a bunch of email. One is, I will do, and we get a lot of these kind when we do a breakfast with a band this size. You do Red Hot Chili Peppers, that big a band in a small location, and the people get to sit, you know, 20 feet away from them, and the people get to ask questions as long as they're good. I will do anything to attend the breakfast with RHCP. I am a super hardcore fan and will possibly die if I'm not able to attend.
Oh, my God.
She doesn't know me, does she? Because I'd like to test that out. I'd like to see if that's the case. I have the band logo tattooed on my wrist, just like Anthony and John, hoping to get Anthony Kiedis' autograph next to it so I can get that as well, Gina. Gina, we are going to give away some tickets. We have to do it by contest, by rules,
because be fair.
Lawyers run the world,
yeah.
And it's fair. But I just wanted to remind people of our breakfast with Bush. In the mid-90s, we did Breakfast with Bush, and they were on the stage, and a girl came up, and she said the exact same thing. I'm the biggest Gavin Rossdale fan and Bush, and I want to show him my tattoo, because I got a tattoo of him on my back. And by back, I mean tramp stamp. So so she's we line her up, and the band is up there, and she says, I'd like to show you my tattoo. And she turns around, and her tattoo on the back of her back is spelled G-A-L-V-I-N, Galvin. And his name is Gavin, and there's no L in Gavin.
And that was a mistake she was completely unaware of until that moment.
Yes, she had it done however long before that.
Wow.
It did. You could tell a new tattoo, you know, by the redness or whatever. It wasn't new.
And no one ever told her.
And she wanted to show Gavin so bad. And you know, if she knew that it was misspelled Galvin, no way is she showing him that.
That's the best.
But she shows him that. And then we were like, yeah, about that. Is there anyone else named Galvin that you might want to like? Because Gavin is not exactly spelled correct.
Wow.
So we have those tickets coming up. We'll give you a chance to win them with a game coming up in about a half hour. Dear Kevin and Bean, so I DVD'd L.A. Inc. and was watching it and found myself saying, what the hell are Kevin and Bean doing on my TV? She brought in the camera crew one time and she came in to promote.
They were doing the fundraiser for Japan and she literally decided 2 days. They could only find one day where they could do it. And that gave them 2 days lead time to set this up. So they came on to K-Rock to promote it.
Right. So she comes into the studio and she has the cameras and they videotape it. I guess they put it in the show. I thought it had been established that Kevin, Bean, and TV don't mix. That's true. That's science. That has been established. At least Lisa May got a shout out. So,
well, that was nice.
You got a good one there. But yeah, you're right. I apologize for that. We're doing a topic a little bit later this morning. Girls who are addicted to sex. Just because that's awesome.
You just want to talk about that.
I'm just saying it's awesome. But this may be another topic that we have to get to later. And it's certainly not what we had in mind when we were discussing girls addicted to sex. This was based on a story out of England, and this girl needed sex like 4 times a day, and she was a drunk. She'd get all mean. But this one starts, my mother is a sex addict.
Oh, my God.
So maybe this is for another time? Because can you imagine? I mean, most people don't like to think about their parents. Like, I can't imagine that my parents ever had sex. No way.
Yeah.
Even though I know technically, scientifically, they did. But I'm unable to accept that fact. My mother would often have sex multiple times a day with different men.
Oh, God.
At their house.
Oh.
My sister and I would often hear the phrase, we're going to go take a nap. And apparently they were old enough to know or have experienced enough noise to understand that taking a nap, what that means. So they would turn up the TV to drown out the moans and screams.
Oh, man.
While moving into a new apartment, my sister and I discovered 4 large U-Haul boxes full of porn, magazines, and books. Now, apparently, the father out of the picture, so it's just mom. So this is all her porn. We also found 3 boxes full of sex toys, including a whip, handcuffs, leather studded apparel, a ball gag, and bed restraints.
That is so awful.
Imagine thinking about your mother with a ball gag. Come on. My guess is there are a ton of women out there with the same problem. Your friend, Vagina Itchy. Yeah, I don't think that's what we're going to be looking for today. Maybe another day could be your mom.
Oh, God.
Today it's just girls.
Okay.
We like to focus on girls because the thing about with your mom, that's
like, nice. What kind of Mother's Day card do you give that mom? You know? It just, none of them read right.
Yeah, they don't really cover that.
They don't.
They don't really cover that.
Oh, God.
Hey, here's to making a lot more noise upstairs this year. And yesterday we talked about deep fried butter. We were not aware of this until, I think it was Bean read something about it in the Iowa State Fair, that they were deep frying butter. They would take a full stick of butter that's frozen, and they would cover it in honey, and then they would cover it in cinnamon, and then they would deep fat fry it, and then you would eat it. Now, to us, that sounds like instant death.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, you're taking away the food portion of the food and only eating the butter. And that sounded like it couldn't be good. So we sent Beer Mug to the fair to find it, and he did. If you'd like to go to kevinandbean.com, we put up the video yesterday. And this is a Beer Mug walking around the fair, asking people, and finally tracking down the elusive deep-fried butter. So go to kevinandbean.com if you'd like to watch that video. It's very funny. I've never heard about it until this past Saturday at the Watermelon Festival in Sunland. Which is why it's so weird to me that it came up on your show this morning. This is yesterday. All my friends said it was amazing. I never saw it. And thank God for that, because the image of it makes me want to hurl. And I'm sure the sight of it would send me right over the edge. Kimberly. Well, here's the thing about that, Kimberly. It's worse than it sounds, because The fried stick of butter with the honey and the cinnamon is topped with whipped cream and powdered sugar.
Oh, my God.
So that seems bad, right?
Except he said it was delicious.
Awesome.
He said it was a churro times a thousand, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Tried a deep-fried Tootsie Roll, Leonard says. Not going to lie, it was the most horrible thing I've ever tasted. So
That surprises me.
It does, sort of.
I would think that'd be okay.
I don't know. Tootsie Roll has a weird, like, chocolate taste already. If you deep-fry it, you wrap it in something, I don't know. Doesn't sound so good. And finally, dear Kevin and Bean, I was horrified by your topic of fried foods yesterday and beer mug at the state fair eating it. But more horrifying than the food was the theme song. Did we ask you to do a theme song?
No.
I don't think it was all on you, right?
I volunteered.
Muggs decided not only to go to the fair and look for the deep-fried butter, but he was going to make his own theme song. And so he made it. And this email goes on, really? A parody of the Friday song? Beer mug should be put down.
Come on!
It's in consideration.
That's what we were trying to do by making him eat the butter.
That's true.
But, yeah, there's this song.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend,
You know, as many times as I've heard that song, and I've heard it thousands, every time I'm fascinated by how bad her voice is, like by how annoying her voice is and how bad the song is. You're a little bit shocked every single time you hear it again. I think that's why I get so many, you know, so many views on YouTube and all that crap.
Right.
So Beer Mug took it upon himself to talk about fried food. See, because fried.
Sure. I see the connection.
Food and put together this gem.
It's fried food, gotta wolf down some fried food. Everybody's looking forward to some eating, fried food, pigging out on fried food. Everything tastes better when you fry it. Looking forward to some frying. Tomorrow with scrambled eggs, fudge sundae comes afterwards. I don't want this frying to end.
I feel a heart attack. Sorry, you got that going on. We'd
That's awesome.
We'll put that up online if you would like to use it as a ring. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Coming up in a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win some tickets for our breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Girls Addicted to Sex and live music from Death Cab for Cutie. Yesterday, Bean had surgery, and he gets weird injuries. He's one of those
people. He always does.
Yeah, he's one of those people. Remember he had the tube sticking out of his eye and all this stuff? He had some belly button problem, and he had surgery on it yesterday. We did a big thing on Monday because he's scared to death of anesthesia. He reads too much, and he sees these stories of people who wake up during surgery and can't say anything but are awake.
And feeling everything.
Correct, yes. Yeah. So he's very, very, very upset about that. And you know, as we make some of the staff here follow Bean on Twitter because Ralph and I, you know, we get enough of Bean. We don't really need his Twitters. But we do have some of his tweets from yesterday during the surgery.
Oh, my God.
So let's roll with that. Right. This is yesterday during Bean surgery on his belly button. Shut up, Omar. Is that Ralph or Omar? It's Ralph.
Come on. It's not going to go
It's both of us.
It's a unified front.
Let's roll with that.
Let's roll with it.
It's pre-surgery time. Only 20 more minutes to send everyone I work with pictures of my freakishly large belly button.
He did send too many pictures of that. What happened?
It's time to have my belly button operated on. Why do they call it a belly button anyway? When you press it, nothing happens like a button, and you can't button anything to it. It's more like a buttonhole. But if that's the truth, then where's the button that goes in the buttonhole?
He's got a point.
I wonder if I take the excess skin from my belly button and make it into an amulet that Rachel Nichols will wear it around her neck.
Oh, man. That's so ugly.
Yeah.
Well, it's surgery time. And as you know, the first cut is the deepest.
F you.
I've told the doctors no anesthesia for me.
What?
Luckily, I have no feelings. I'm not sure the surgeon is doing this correctly. Luckily, I looked the operation up on the internet last night. I'm giving him advice. He doesn't seem happy.
Oh, can you imagine being giving him advice?
Well, it's time to sew me up. I can say this doctor has got me in stitches.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Well, I'm all stitched up. They say a stitch in time saves nine. Nine what, I wonder? I hope it's dollars.
That's the kind of gold you get from Bean's Twitter.
I'm groggy.
Sweet, it went dead? And then there was a little while where he didn't tweet? Sweet.
Oh, silent.
I'm better now.
You're a little offbeat there, I think. You are not going to join the Chili Peppers.
Come on,
so
I can play the cowbell.
You're just a hair off.
It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:52. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We have tickets for our breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers coming
Maybe
up.
Maybe they'll let you play cowbell at the breakfast.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
That'd be awesome.
That seems obvious.
Yes.
But
you want to rehearse a little bit.
That sounded great to me.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about. Time for the Showbiz Beat.
Mentioned yesterday that Kiss was going to be performing at the Michael Forever tribute concert that's happening on October 8th in Cardiff, Wales. And we said, geez, that seems odd. Gene Simmons and Kiss performing a Michael Jackson song at the tribute concert. And then when you think about it, it's even odder since Gene Simmons has publicly condemned Michael as a pedophile time and time again since his death. Well, all I got to say is we say it here and it comes out there.
Right.
Yesterday, the people organizing the event said that Kiss was no longer welcome to perform at the show.
Is that right?
Because, you know, they didn't want somebody who had called Michael Jackson a pedophile to be performing there. They thought it might have been bad form.
You think they're that out of it that they didn't realize until just now?
That's what they said. Their statement.
Wow.
They said, we were unaware of Mr. Simmons' statements, and thanks to all the fans who gave us the heads up and let us know what he said, so Kiss is no longer welcome to play the event. So Kiss will not be performing.
All right.
Now it's just the headliners, I guess, CeeLo Green and Christina Aguilera. Which makes you understand why they said it in Wales, if that's the case, if those two are going to be performing there.
Both decent singers, but not really headliners.
Well, Christina, I think, is still a big name.
Yeah. Doing a Michael Jackson song. I mean, that would be interesting.
They're going to be there.
Sure.
Doing their Smooth Criminal number, I'm sure. While we're talking about music, the estate of Frank Sinatra is stepping up and asking a bankruptcy judge to let them have some say in the future of the team, along with all the other season ticket holders.
Huh?
Frank Sinatra had season tickets to the Dodgers, and his family's had them since they moved out west from Brooklyn in 1958. They've been season ticket holders every season.
Right.
And they are petitioning the court saying that the other longtime ticket holders, season ticket holders, as well as the Sinatra family, should have some say in what the final financial decisions are regarding the Dodgers organization.
Do they know that's not how it works?
I don't believe they do, or else they wouldn't be asking that.
I mean, Green Bay Packers, I think, is the exception where you could actually own part of the team. But
right.
Other than that, you don't get any say.
I don't think. You're like a shareholder just because you've had tickets for a long time.
No.
But they believe, apparently, that Frank McCourt has been is to blame for the club's financial ruin.
Oh, well, that's true.
That is true, but I don't think they have any say-so in it.
No.
I just think it's odd that Sinatra's people are stepping up.
That is weird.
I guess Frank was used to having everything his way, so maybe the family feels the same way, too.
I guess, but it would be a lot easier.
Send some guys over with a nose on one side of the face, go and have a conversation with Mr. McCourt. It'd
be a lot easier to tell, you know, his family no than him.
That's right, yeah. They can't have you murdered.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Abercrombie and Fitch. I am not a fan of their clothing. I do not shop at their store. However, I believe I will start. I will start to spend copious amounts of money there and buy their clothing and wear it exclusively.
You know, on the weekends, I model up in front.
I did not know that. You're the guy at the Grove who's his shirt off?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you looked familiar.
Yeah.
Abercrombie & Fitch today announced they are willing to offer a substantial payment to the cast of the Jersey Shore if they will stop wearing their clothes.
That is the best.
A&F said that their association with our brand could cause significant damage to our image. The clothing company said, "We understand that the show is for entertainment purposes, but we believe this association is contrary to the aspirational nature of our brand and may be distressing to many of our fans."
That's awesome.
Apparently they saw the situation wearing some Abercrombie & Fitch, and they said, "This is not acceptable. We'll pay you not to wear our clothing."
It's so the opposite. Most clothing companies would give anything to have TV people wear it and pay for it.
Yeah.
They're paying for them not to wear it.
This is pretty genius. And it's a great way to grab attention for your clothing line while also taking a stand against douchebaggery. So
you were excluded from the surf and turf night. You were excluded from ravioli night. You were excluded from chicken cutlet night.
You're excluded from wearing our clothes. It's pretty awesome.
And they're willing to pay.
Did you guys do anything special to celebrate Elvis Presley's 34th anniversary of his death yesterday?
No.
Did you guys get together and sing some Elvis songs? Or
I'm not a big Elvis.
Eat a peanut butter nana sandwich? Or
hey, I'm not a big Elvis fan.
Watch young girls wrestle in their underwear?
What?
You know,
what?
Anything the king enjoyed?
What?
Anything?
Oh. That part I like.
Elvis loved that. That's what his favorite thing was. He'd get fans to come back to his hotel room, and he would just sit there with a cigar and a drink and have girls wrestle in their underwear.
Awesome. All right.
Yeah, that's why he was the king. That's why he was the king.
Yeah.
No, he does. He had an underwear fetish.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, yeah. Cotton panties. Loved them.
I don't care about
Elvis. So I'm guessing you did not celebrate the anniversary of his death in any particularly special way.
Don't care. Yesterday was the day, though?
It was. Yesterday, 34 years ago yesterday, he passed away. And Michelle Bachmann, who, of course, is trying to be the Republican presidential candidate, she was on a campaign stop in South Carolina. You know, the South, home of a lot of big Elvis fans.
Sure.
So she got in front of her potential constituents and said, "I want to wish Elvis Presley a happy birthday."
She didn't say that.
She said that.
A happy birthday.
It wasn't until after the fact that someone pointed out to her that it was, in fact, the anniversary of his death.
Oh.
Not such a happy event as a sad one for a lot of Elvis fans. And there was a hushed silence met with only a few groans in the crowd upon her announcement.
So keep listening for a chance.
Thank you. Thank you, Bean. I appreciate that.
What's he doing here?
Fail. Epic fail.
What is Bean doing here? And I am all behind this. You know, when I put my mind to something, when I put my significant showbiz clout behind something, it happens.
Then what happens? Oh, it happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
You remember how Adam West could not get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Right.
Until I put my significant Hollywood machine in motion.
Right, you did.
And then, boom, next thing, instantaneously, he got a star on the Walk of Hollywood.
You didn't really have anything to do with that particular... Right, at the time, you didn't.
Yeah, and it wasn't really
instantaneously.
They just
instantaneously
did it
without you. I'm just saying, I'm taking credit away from you.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I think Lisa's point is better taken that it did take me 6 or 7 years to get it done. So it may not have been instantaneous.
Okay, but it still
but you
does.
Might have had a little
You're saying
it
still happens.
But right, exactly.
You still have the influence.
So now it's time for me to start on this campaign. Received an email from Bruce Lee Enterprises this morning.
Okay.
I'm a huge Bruce Lee fan. I've always been.
Of course.
Greatest martial artist actor of all time. Not only was he the original Kato with Green Hornet and Kato, but his films, Enter the Dragon, I mean, just one after the other. Died way too soon. Apparently, they're trying to get him a U.S. postage stamp. Bruce Lee would be the first Asian-American celebrity to ever be on a U.S. postage stamp if this can happen.
Really?
So they have a page set up through their website at brucelee.com that takes you directly to the stamp page, and they're asking our listeners if they would be willing to go there and look into how they can give their support to Bruce Lee and try to get him on a postage stamp. And I'm all for it. I think Bruce Lee should be on a postage stamp. Hey! Imagine how cool your letter would be if you put Bruce Lee on there and mailed it.
Yeah, that would be
kick
like
all the leather letters' asses in the mailbox.
Probably get there first.
No,
right?
Absolutely. Push everybody else out of the way. It's all the beautiful glory, you would say. Love Bruce Lee.
Hollywood Walk of Fame, though, a little easier than the U.S. Post Office, I would guess.
Oh, they're nothing. Okay. I'll take on the U.S. government.
All right, good luck.
BruceLee.com. You can go for all the details. BruceLee.com/site/stamp if you want to go directly there. Today's celebrity birthday is Robert De Niro is 68 years old today. Kevin Rowland of Dexy's Midnight Runners is 58. Sean Penn celebrates his 51st birthday. Gilby Clark, guitarist for Guns N' Roses, is 49. Donnie Wahlberg of New Kids on the Block is 42. And Mark Salling from Glee. He's Puck on that show. He's got that mohawk.
Sure does.
He sure loves that big girl, too. He's attracted to that big girl.
He sure is.
He's a looker. That big one. He is 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we are doing breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Always a fun time. We go to a little place, have a big band. You get to come along with us. You get to have a little food. 50-50. I'd say we're 50-50 on food. And then you get to ask the band questions. They play. It's a good time. Yep. And we have some tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. The way we're going to do it is with the Kevin and Bean title fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's title fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
All right, so title fight is you're going to need to come up with the name of a Red Hot Chili Peppers song. Dave, the King of Mexico, is going to be one of the clue givers.
The best.
Yes.
Yep.
And Lisa is going to be the other person giving clues. Now,
not the best.
Here's the thing. They're not allowed to say any of the words in the song title. So they're going to use...
Oh, that's the hard part.
So they're going to use...
I hate that part.
They're going to use every other word they can think of to try and get you to say the song title. But they can't use any of the words in the song title. We have 45 seconds on the timer. We have two contestants. One is Noah. Hi, Noah.
Hey.
Are you usually good at this kind of game?
Yeah, I'm totally
going to
win.
No, you're totally
going to
win.
All right. Confidence.
I like Noah.
And then we have Ben. Hi, Ben.
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Ben.
Playing the title fight.
Wonderful.
Ben, since we went to you second, we're going to give you a chance to pick who you would like to give you the clues. King of Mexico or Lisa May?
I'll go with my girl, Lisa May.
All right, Ben.
Loser.
Woo!
All right. So Noah gets to go first, and he's got the King of Mexico. Noah, are you ready?
Yeah, cool. I wanted Dave anyway.
Yeah, way to go, Noah. Here we go.
Now, so you're going first.
Yes.
You're going first. You try to go through them all. You can pass, in which case then, you know, if you get the rest of them, then you can go back and try to get that one again in the 45 seconds. Okay?
All right, cool.
So here we go. As soon as you hear the clock start, Dave will begin giving clues or whatever it is he does.
Make noise.
And then
yell at you. You know, it'll be one of those.
Then you, Noah, will have to give us song titles. Here we go.
All right, first one. Eeks. you want to do this to a girl? If you like this chick, what do you do to her? Like, if you want to say goodbye or it's your first, you know, on a date, at the end of the date, first.
Pass.
Oh, man. Not over, but you go over. Shoot.
Other side?
No.
Around
over.
The world.
Over, and you cross. You need to cross this thing to get to an island or... Or like in San Francisco.
Under the bridge.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Under the bridge!
All right. Dude, just pass this next one.
Go on, Les.
All right. All right. So the state we live in.
California.
Oh. He got it.
Got it.
I'm pretty damn nervous. How many did you get?
Two. Yeah.
Wow, Ben, we got our work cut out for us.
He got under the bridge.
Hey, Noah, that was my bad, dude. I'll take credit for this one.
Whoa. Let me just say that for a guy who said, oh, yeah, I'm going to win... suck my kiss. When Dave was saying this is what you do when you say goodnight to a girl, that's on you. Those were good clues.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll give Noah the credit that I took a while to get there. So, you know.
No.
I mean, we're going to win, Noah, because Ben sucks. But
all right, Ben.
Ready, Ben?
You're going to have to beat two, and I don't know if you can do that because Lisa's not the best clue giver.
Sometimes I give the clue.
We forget you get good clue, Lisa.
We do forget to mention that it's also if there's a tie, then you know, then we have to do a tiebreaker.
So. Okay.
Here we go. You ready? As soon as you hear the clock, Lisa will begin giving clues or whatever it is she does, and then you give us Red Hot Chili Pepper songs. Here we go.
When you slice your arm open and then it heals.
Scar tissue.
Okay. Nice. This is when you die. This goes to heaven. It's the
angel.
Piece. No, it's the piece inside you. We all have this.
Soul.
Yes.
Soul to squeeze.
Okay.
Yes.
You take things to Goodwill because you want to You don't want to
give it away.
Uh-huh.
Give it away! They already got three!
All right, maybe Ben didn't suck.
Ben, you rock.
Hang on, I just want everybody to hear the rest of the 45-second clock. Because it's still running, and he already beat her.
Beat him.
Hold on.
Really?
This is how fast he beat him.
No.
This is honestly the 45-second
clock. No, you started it over.
Yes, I didn't. I didn't start it over.
All right, Ben, you win.
All right, Noah.
He deserved it.
Noah, the guy who said he was going to win, you blow.
No, I don't blow. That was all Dave.
All Dave.
All Dave. Please.
I'll take this one.
All right, Noah, you're gone. Ben, we will see you at the breakfast.
Oh, that's awesome. Talk about the humility, guys.
That would be over. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 20 minutes after 7 o'clock.
You haven't lost a step since I've been out, Kevin. No, I have to be honest.
No, he has not.
My fear was I'm gone for a day and I come back and now you're smart. I didn't want that to happen because that's no fun for any of us.
No, that'll ever happen.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Death Cab for Cutie coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And were you guys intentionally trying to book my beautiful girlfriend Rachel Nichols on a day that I wasn't here? Was that the plan?
Yeah. Yes. And you ruined it by coming back.
Yeah, I'm throwing medicine out the window and getting out of bed to get in here to talk to Rachel Nichols. Come on, you know me better than that.
Yeah.
Right now, though, we want to turn our attention to a story brought up early yesterday on the program about women sex addicts. And as far as I'm concerned, there aren't enough of them.
Yeah, we were in the meeting yesterday, Bean, and you were not a part of it. And Alex said, why are we doing this? And we said, to talk to women sex addicts. And she said, and say what? And I said, who cares?
I'll tell you the story in a moment that brought this this trend to our attention. But Ralph, you've been involved in a bunch of things personally and professionally with your work at the Playboy Channel. Is this something you've dealt with before? You've heard of?
Yeah, sure. It's very
awesome.
It's much more rare in women than it is in men, obviously,
right?
For obvious reasons. But there is a small percentage of women who do suffer from a sex addiction. However, I hate to burst your bubble, fellas, but usually it comes from a negative place, like some sort of emotional trauma or some sort of a abuse or some sort of self-esteem issue.
But that's is it good sex?
That is the result. Not often. Oh. Often it's just feeding an emotional need, and the sex almost becomes superfluous, and it's the hunt, it's the quest, it's the acquisition of the sex that really is the most important.
Oh, then once
part.
You get it and having it is not the important
part. And it's meaningless, and then you need it more right again afterwards. You need to fill that void again. It's like junk food, you know?
Do you have any names and addresses?
I don't. No.
All right.
And these women sex addicts, they almost never win major golf tournaments. Am I right about that?
That's true. Almost never. Yeah. Well, they usually get divorced and then lose some part of their professionalism.
This lady in the news, by the way, who, by the way, has only claimed to have had sex with 70 men, which doesn't seem like she's much of a sex addict to me. Because it seems like if you're a female sex addict, you could do way better than that, right?
70 men in, was it 10 years?
10 years, yeah.
So, yeah, 10 years.
Really, just 7 a year? That's not...
Yeah, that's not much. That's,
but if she's had steady boyfriends who give her the sex that she wants, then she really doesn't need to go anyplace
else. She has had the boyfriends, and the boyfriends she's worn out, and then she, you know, they end up dead, and then she moves on.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be taking your calls. We're looking for female sex addicts here on the Kevin and Bean Show every day, but in particular today here on the phone at 1-800-520-1067. Our girlfriend, and you guys were impressed when you saw her photo, considering she's a sex addict, is named Shannon Flynn. She's 27 years old, and she was involved in an altercation where she tried to beat up a bouncer, she said, because she was drunk. She also goes on to say that when she is drunk, she gets incredibly horny to the point where she gets angry and violent and throws things if she can't get sex. She wants sex 4 times a day, and it's, for that reason, very difficult for her to keep a boyfriend.
Because if you're a boyfriend, I mean, it sounds awesome at first. You right. go, wow, mm-hmm. this is perfect. But, you know, Monday 4, Tuesday 4, Wednesday 4, Thursday 4, Friday 4, Saturday, hey, how about 3? No! No.
I am not usually violent, she says, but my desire for sex takes over all my senses. She says if she's unable to satisfy her sexual desires, the withdrawal symptoms become horrendous. What's that about? I mean, is it a explain that to me, Ralph. What does she mean by the withdrawal symptoms?
That sounds like a physical dependence.
Well, the thing is that often sex addicts are also have addictions in other areas, whether it's substance abuse or something like that. In this particular woman's case, it's alcohol as well as sex. And so it's usually a chemical imbalance in the brain. And if they're not... feeding that pleasure center. If not, they're releasing the serotonin or L-dopamine or whatever it is, that drug that sort of balances out their mood, they start to crave it the way you would if you were, you know, unbalanced. If you're obviously trying to self-medicate by having the sex because it releases certain endorphins or whatever it is that makes you feel better.
And what's her address?
No, it's not the point to take advantage of these women, Kevin. I'm trying to teach you some empathy here.
Shannon says, hardly anyone can understand what I'm going through on a daily basis. Every hour of every day, all I can think about is sex. So that's our girl Shannon. In fact, the Kevin Bean Citizen of the Day.
That's right. Citizen of the Year.
And by the way, I was all prepared to enjoy these people, and Ralph's coming in and kind of raining on my parade about what an awesome, awesome life this is. But
just
not
ignore
so much.
That, because what I'm saying is you're helping them, and they're helping you.
You're really
right.
So
it's a win-win.
If you give a heroin addict a fix, then you're helping them. If they give you money for it, then they're helping you. So that's an okay relationship as well.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You're the pusher.
That's what we're saying.
You are a horrible human being.
and the puller when you stop and think about it.
Oh, stop.
1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. We'd like you to call if you are a female sex addict. We already have one on the line. We're going to talk to Lori. But if you fit that category, 2 or 3 times a day would be great with you.
How do you know the difference between horny and addict?
That's
how
my question.
Do you draw the
line? I don't
know. I think in this particular person's case, like most addiction, there is some sort of detriment to the behavior. Like this woman was getting violent. She was acting out. She was getting drunk. She got in trouble with the law.
Lost boyfriends.
I mean, I think
it was negatively.
For it to be an addiction, you really have to have some negative ramifications that come at the end of it versus just digging it and wanting it as much as you can get because that's just a good time.
And it seems to me that it would be exactly the same in women as it is in men, where it becomes the overriding thing that they need in their lives, and it must be difficult to concentrate at work. You find yourself, you know, making up excuses to not be where you're supposed to be because you'd rather be somewhere trolling for sex. I mean,
how many times have we seen this? You know, at work or at home, where you're just disappearing for hours at a time online looking at porn or something and losing your friends. So
I don't want to be, you know, non-sympathetic, but welcome to being a guy, by the way. Thinking about sex 24 hours a day. Honestly, every guy does that.
Yeah.
Let's start with Lori. Let's take a call from her first. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. We'll take some more calls in a second if you are a female sex addict or you think you might be. Lori, hi.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
How many times a day?
3.
3 times a day.
Oh, no kidding.
And what's the side effect if you don't get 3 a day?
I get moody. I get, like, grouchy.
Cranky.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have
and
a boy-
I'm married, so this is horrible.
I was going to ask if you had a boyfriend or husband.
Or both.
Yeah.
Does your husband sometimes go, I can't keep up. Get a boyfriend.
Yeah, he cuts me off. He's like, come on, are you kidding me? Most guys wouldn't mind. You know, this is great. This is fun. More.
I think what Kevin said is true. Most guys wouldn't mind the first couple of days, but then after that, got to do something else.
I don't know. I can't buy him any more vitamins or testosterone. She's
buying him everything. Try and prop him up.
How do you work out, just from a scheduling standpoint, how do you work out 3 times a day? Like once in the morning before we go off to work, and then once when you get home, and then once late at night at bed, or what?
Pretty much, yeah.
Every day, 7 days a week?
Yeah, I gotta wake him up. At least 4 times a week.
4 times a week, all right.
So, well, that's different than 3 horrible. Times a day.
Okay, so you can take a day off and be all right, but you'll be cranky?
Sometimes. I'm okay, you know.
All right, let me ask you this question without getting too delicate here. Does it have to be sex with your husband, or can you take care of it yourself and achieve the same results?
I could, but it's better with a partner, so.
Sure.
But so that doesn't satisfy the craving.
But if you're cranky and he's not available,
that's all me.
Yeah, it's all you.
It's all you.
Have you ever thought about a hobby or
it is her hobby?
Something to take your mind off it?
I've tried meal point, gardening, exercising.
I don't know that gardening's going to fix it.
I know. I pulled every weed out across my neighborhood, so no, I didn't.
For how long has this been going on?
Seriously, almost 15 years now.
15 years.
Do you wish that you weren't so horny?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And is there, I have no idea the answer to this question, but is this something that could be treated medically? Is there something they could give you that would kind of stamp out some of that desire a little bit?
Weed? I don't know.
I mean, have you ever been to a doctor and asked about it?
Yeah. And
then you had sex with him. You should date Bean.
That would be the greatest doctor in the world.
What?
You should date Bean. That way, that would take it right out of you. You lose would. All the interest.
You'd never be aroused again.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, sometimes I think about Bean, and that takes care of it.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Jesus. Oh, no, I'm kidding.
Sweet. Yes, you are kidding.
Now, how long have you been married out of these 15 years?
To this husband, 3.
To this husband.
Yeah. You wore out the last one.
And you're on your 5th husband?
I killed him.
Well, he did know what he was getting himself into, that's for sure.
Poor guy died of an early heart attack, like a year after we...
Wait, you're joking, right?
No, he did.
He died of a heart attack.
He died at work.
You killed him with sex.
Man.
That's the way to go, though, for a guy. If you're going to go, I mean, you might as well get killed with sex.
I'm trying to do the Lord's work. I guess.
Sure.
I guess so.
What's your address?
Kevin loves Lori, a black widow.
you are awesome, Lori. Thank you so much for calling and sharing your story. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. If you are a female sex addict or you think you may be or you know one, give us a call and we will talk to you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ and it is 7:38.
Talking about female sex addicts, and producer Alex could not be more disgusted with us because we are. But we are taking your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067. Amy, you hang on. We're going to get to you in 30 seconds. Here's an email we got on this topic once we started bringing it up after the chick in Britain. Dear Kevin, Amin, and Lisa, ding, my mother was a sex addict.
All right, now that's a...
Yeah, that's creepy.
That's a whole different topic.
My mother would often have sex multiple times a day with multiple different men. My sister and I would often hear the phrase, "We're going to take a nap," which meant to turn up the TV to drown out the moans and the screams. Your mom's in the next room banging it out with some guy you've never seen before. That's what this guy was growing up with.
That's just tragic.
And they would bring home, and mom would bring home 2 or 3 different guys, like, in a day. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah.
While moving her into a new apartment, my sister and I discovered 4 large U-Haul boxes full of porn tapes, magazines, and books. We also found 3 boxes full of sex toys, including whips, handcuffs, leather-studded apparel, ball gag, and bed restraints.
Bean, imagine your mom in a ball gag.
No.
I mean, it's just,
no.
You never want to think of your parents that way, ever.
I know
that they had sex because I exist, but other than that, I don't really want to talk about it. Ball gag.
Let's try Amy and see what her story is. Welcome to the Kevin Beach Show, Amy. Thanks a lot for hanging on. What's going on?
I was just listening to the previous story that you had on the radio, and I'm a lot like that lady, except I can't sexually satisfy myself. It's not the same.
In other words, you can't orgasm, but it doesn't give you the fulfillment that you need. It has to be with another person.
It has to be with a man, yeah.
Okay. Wow. And what's your dating/married situation, Amy?
I'm actually married, but he can't keep up with me, so I kind of have a friend.
Really? Does he know that you have a friend?
No.
Good. Because this is silent. No one will know.
Right. It's a private conversation.
This
don't worry.
Just between us.
So how many times a day do you need it, Amy?
I'd say about at least 4. If I don't get it at least 4, then I get really grouchy and just agitated.
At least 4. Have you ever been left by a boyfriend or a husband because they can't keep up and you're going to kill them?
All the time.
Really?
Wow.
All the time.
I'll ask you the same thing I asked the last caller, which is, have you ever been to a doctor and sought out any kind of relief they can give you with medicine or something that would, you know, kind of stamp out your sexual desire a little bit?
No, I've never been to a doctor, but my cousin's a psychologist, and she told me that I have, sexual problems. Because I'll text her when I'm at work, or I'll be at work, and I'm like, I'm horny, I gotta go home, I gotta do something, and said that's not normal. I think it's normal. Who doesn't get horny throughout the day?
Well, all guys, but not many women. Have you ever lost a job? Have you ever, been fired, lost friends, whatever, had negative connotations to your life?
No, because everyone thinks, I mean, come on, say, you know, you want to have sex all the time, so everyone thinks it's funny or, you know, great.
Well, it is. First of all, it is.
If you're sitting at work and you're, you know, wet all day, there's nothing you can do.
But you, I mean, you have girlfriends, right, Amy? You know that your situation is extraordinary. It is, and it is not, for most people, would not be ideal. Most people would not want to have sex that much.
Yeah, I realize that.
Yeah.
Which is weird to me. I don't know how somebody cannot want it that much.
How long have you been like this?
since I was 15 years old, so I'm 31 now.
17 years.
Wow.
What's your address?
Hey, you told me more friends.
All right, let me ask you one more thing, Amy. Did you ever go through a phase in your life, like the person's mother that we were describing in the email, where you just went out and met random guys because you just had to have it, and you were gonna do that with the first guy you found?
I did that once. I was actually like, I really, really needed it, so I hopped on a website online. And I met a really cute guy who happens to be the guy that I mess around with now on the side.
Oh, he's
he comes
your...
over about twice a week.
How go... about that?
So you go over to his house twice a week so that he can help fill in for what your husband's not able to do.
Yeah.
And you don't tell your husband. Would your husband be upset?
I think so, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
But okay. There are no bad consequences from all of this is what I'm getting.
Yet. Yeah.
Amy said... You're awesome, and I love you. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay. Good luck, Amy.
The band Death Cab for Cutie got a couple of shows coming up this week at the Greek Theater and joining us in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show right after the top of the hour. Playing some live music for us, too. Very much looking forward to that. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I do have some more passes to give away for what we are calling the ultimate one-day Hollywood experience. I guess this all could happen in one day, but you might want to spread it out over a couple days. The reason we're calling it one day, however, is because it celebrates the brand new movie, One Day, starring Anne Hathaway and Jim Sturgess.
How do we do it? How do we come up with such a creative name?
Happens Friday, August the 19th. That's when One Day is in theaters everywhere. But if you'd like to see it before anybody else and score a pair of passes to the Kevin and Bean screening of One Day, Dinner for Two, and a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood. All in one particular package.
Huh.
Pretty spectacular, I think.
That seems too much.
It's a good event. First two callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call if you get through. And you're one of the first two callers. You'll get to see One Day early, then have dinner for two, and go see the Universal Studios Hollywood tour, which is always a good time. I just recently went. I hadn't gone in a while because most of my friends who come to visit me from out of town, we've done that already.
Yeah, that's when you go, is generally when someone comes from out of town.
Right, when you're looking to entertain visitors, you take them to Universal Studios Hollywood. So I had some friends who had come out who had never been before, and we went, and it's really better than ever. And I always thought it was a good time, but they've got some great new sites and things you can check out there. So if you'd like to go, once again, first two callers, 1-800-520-1067. You get to see One Day early. You can go to experienceoneday.com if you want more details about the movie that comes out, as I mentioned, on the 19th. But we mentioned that Anne Hathaway is the star, along with Jim Sturgess. And Anne Hathaway recently, what show was this on? I forget.
Conan,
right. She was showing off her rap skills. Her mad beats.
Did you know she
was dropping some rhymes on people?
Did you know she had that in her?
I did not know that. She never ceases to amaze me, this beautiful young Anne Hathaway. Here's a little taste of her rapping about the paparazzo.
Yo, I'm a paparazzi. I don't play no Yahtzee. I go pop, 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 pop. My camera's up your crotch. See, I tell the truth from what I see and sell it to Perez Hilton. Don't call me scuzzy, making money. That's my job, celeb photography. What? Hell no, I'm not needy. I'm legit, not stalkerazzi. Don't act so hotsy-totsy, bitch, I know that you from Jersey. Pop, 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 scream all you want, won't make me stop. Pop, 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 I know you love to feel my pop.
Wow. Come on.
My goodness.
Natalie Portman's got some competition now.
Oh, they should have a wrap-off.
I love her so much now.
8 Mile style, just beat down those two.
That's crazy.
She's the goods.
Come
she's,
on,
she's
you have
a lot
to do
of
everything,
fun.
Though. Come
she's
on.
She's a lot of fun, that Anne
Hathaway. I agree.
Halfway.
Can't wait to see her as Catwoman. I'm so excited.
When's
have you
that
seen,
out?
The, seen the photos? Have you seen the photos?
I have seen
that
the photos,
photos of her in her cat suit, her skin tight cat suit.
I don't think I had the same physical reaction you did when I saw it. But
who's your favorite of all the Catwomen? There've been a lot of them.
Come on, Bean.
I don't know which one you like the best.
Come on, get real.
What's the? There's a clear answer.
Yvonne Craig.
Yes, Julie Newmar. Yvonne Craig. That was Batgirl. Holy crap.
Same thing.
I will come up there and rip out your stitches.
It is
don't
not the
put
same
it,
thing.
Don't put it past me.
So Burt Ward is your favorite?
Catwoman, Julie Newmar, bum.
Okay.
All right.
End of convo.
All right.
Moving on. Would you like to see Billy,
the question.
Would you like to see Billy Crystal host the Oscars again?
Yeah.
Yes, I would.
I would, too.
He's good at it.
And it looks like we may see that. Billy told a fan at a screening, I guess they were doing a retrospective screening of City Slickers, his film, and a fan asked about his potential to host the Oscars again, and he said he would absolutely be open to it one, maybe two more times before he said goodbye to that gig forever. And then they asked Brett Ratner, the producer who is co-producing the Oscar show that's upcoming. And he said he's very busy wrapping up his current film and he didn't have to make a decision until mid-September. But he will have that conversation with Billy, so we may get our wish. We'll have to wait
and
see.
He's going to co-host it with James Franco, I hope.
Oh, I hope so, too.
That was not James Franco's fault, I don't think.
Oh, no?
I think that was a booking. I mean, I think they shouldn't have chose him.
And he should have said no.
Correct. Okay, yeah, okay.
For them to offer is one thing. For him to say, yeah, oh, I think I'd be great at that. I'm going to go do that. And then when he got there, just half-ass it and sort of phone it in on top of it.
Well, he wasn't. Okay, all right, it was his fault.
Oh, thank you very much. Someone told me about Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I said, oh, that movie was so unbelievable. I couldn't go. I was like, what, you didn't buy the CGI apes? She goes, oh, no, that was fine. James Franco was a scientist. couldn't get past that. There's no way I could buy that for a minute. It's like, wow, when people are believing that the CGI chimps could jump on top of a cop car before they could buy you just reading lines.
Those look good.
Just being a scientist, nobody could do it. While we're talking about film, looks like Steven Spielberg could have some competition. Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, great.
Is taking classes to learn to direct motion pictures. He wants to be a director. He is currently attending the New York Film Academy here in Los Angeles. They have a branch here in Hollywood. He's going to that. And he has been shooting projects on the back lot at Universal Studios that we were just talking about.
What's happening?
Now, Shaq does have some feature film experience. He was the star of Kazam and Steel.
Right. Both horrible.
Both classics.
And by horrible, by classics, you mean horrible.
Well, I mean, everyone's got different criteria.
Nope.
And he said he's looking forward to being behind the camera. He finds himself as a director funny, likable, and humble, he said, which I thought was funny.
What happened to his career in law enforcement? I thought that's where he was heading after the playing basketball.
He is Shaq.
He can
do it
all, man.
Do whatever he wants.
He doesn't have to limit himself.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the pictures that were going around a couple weeks ago of him with his new girlfriend?
No, I have not.
No.
She's like 4'9".
Oh, I did see that.
Seriously?
Oh,
that's
cute. Yeah, she looks like his baby.
It's insane. I mean, she has to... You know how you see little tiny kids walking down the street and their hands are as far up in the air as they can possibly get to hold their mom's hand when they're walking down the street? That's what it's like with his girlfriend. Just barely try to reach his hand.
But can you imagine how much fun that would be for him?
Yeah.
Have a little sex toy like that, a little love doll, just whatever you want. Just spinner. Be awesome. And Sex and Celebrity comes in this story as well. Jesse James recently broke up with Kat Von D. Now we may know why. Star Magazine believes that Jesse accused Kat Von D of cheating on him. That's some balls. That guy accuses people of cheating.
I find that hard to believe, and he's the last person that should say it, even if he thinks it.
He broke up his engagement with Kat, according again to the tabloid, because he thought she was cheating on him with Bam Margera.
I would be shocked that Kat would cheat on anybody, by the way.
Kat strikes... We've interviewed Kat many times.
Yes.
She really does strike us as the crazy, just in love.
Yeah.
Devoted, straight up, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously everybody can have a dark side, but I doubt it. I doubt this story.
I'd say sometimes things happen.
It's coming from Jesse James,
and
who we like as well.
But... He didn't say... the story doesn't say that she did.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just that... That was his accusation and
Jesse James
his
said that.
Fears. Yes, look, if you are a cheater, sometimes you see cheating where it doesn't even exist because you believe everyone's like you.
Yeah,
right.
And not everyone is like you, Jesse James.
Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles.
Today's
that made me sad.
Today's celebrity birthday is Mark Salling of Glee. Is 29 years old today. Donnie Wahlberg of New Kids on the Block turns 42. Gilby Clark from Guns N' Roses is 49 years old. Sean Penn celebrates his 51st birthday. Robert De Niro, Sean's good friend. That must be a good time at dinner with those two sitting down.
Sure.
De Niro and Penn. Seems like just
What was the movie they were in together where they played priests?
Yes. We're No Angels.
Yes.
The name of that film. He's De Niro's 68, Sean is 51. But the reason we celebrate the day, the reason we've been excited all day long is because Kevin Rowland of Dexy's Midnight Runners celebrates his birthday today. He's 58. I wonder how he's going to celebrate his birthday.
Oh,
a very, very lucky girl.
I, you know, usually the one it wonders I'm not a big fan of, but that's a catchy. That just makes you feel good when you hear that song. Just makes you want to put on your oversized overalls and put a bandana around your neck and just
I don't have any of that
strut
stuff
to a mandolin down a street in Dublin. Wasn't it? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Death Camp for Cutie in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Well, half the band is here anyway. Ben and Chris join us for the show. You can see the whole band on stage at the Greek Theater tomorrow night and Friday night with Frightened Rabbit opening up. Hey, boys, how are you?
Howdy, pretty good. How are you?
Very good. Thank
great
you.
Great to see you. Great to talk to you. Death Cab. I mean, it has to be going so much better than you ever imagined it would when you started this band. I mean, nobody plans on world domination, but wow, it's really been working out for you.
Well, I don't think we're quite there yet, but...
Are you playing the Greek two nights this week?
Is that what we're calling world domination?
That's world domination,
look,
yes.
You can define it however you want. And then
if we're going to define it as that, then yes, in fact, we have. But to answer your question, no. I mean, you never... I think, you know, when we started this band 14 years ago in a living room in Bellingham, you never think you're going to be, you know, doing a couple years later, let alone... You know, 14
What's
years later.
What's the smallest crowd you ever played for? Is it just like less than 10?
Two
people.
And your parents?
Were they friends or family?
Yeah, I think it was I think in Sacramento, maybe. Old Ironsides. One of them was playing Saw with us that evening.
Yeah, that's
he was
true.
Playing the Saw, musical yeah, Saw. So him and his friend. So I guess that's really an audience of one because one person was actually... because he watched half the show and then had to play the other half.
Sure.
Show.
So you have one.
We had Paramore in here the other day, and we liked those guys a lot, and they were telling us about... Because we're always fascinated with the struggling years. That's the fun part for us to hear the stories about. And they were telling us about literally going out into the street and paying people's cover charge to get into a club just so they wouldn't have to pay to an empty house in Iowa sometime.
You know, but that could have been beneficial at that show in Sacramento. I think we actually would have thought of that.
Had you
then.
Thought of it, you would have maybe done it?
Probably. Well, I mean, it's but you think about it, it's pretty crazy to put on an event and have literally nobody show up.
Yeah.
I mean,
You know, that requires both thinking of it and having the money to pay people's cover charge to get in.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Codes and Keys is the current album. I guess it's been out for a couple of months or so now. Where are you guys at now when you go in to make another record now that you're several down the road? Are you looking to do something different? Are you always is there something magical you're chasing in the studio? Or what's your mindset like at the beginning of the process of a new record?
Well, I think really, I mean, you know, our own back catalog is kind of what we're working against at all times. I mean, I think that we want to kind of make new things and make music that's new for us. And I think because we've already made at this point before going into make Codes and Keys 6 records before that. You know, you naturally have 6 records of things that you're not going to do again. So,
right.
You know, I think that therein lies the challenge is to continue trying to make new things when you've already made as many records.
Do you get a bunch of ideas that you then throw out because you go, no, that sounds like whatever?
Well, we don't end up throwing them out. Like, I think that we end up sort of trying to zoom out and figure out what it is about those ideas that we like and then try to figure out how to reapproach them and how to, like, if it's a good idea, it's a good idea, and it's not worth, you know, it doesn't matter whose idea it is, and it doesn't matter if it's, I mean, you know, if it's a good idea because it's, like, exactly literally down to the lyrics, something we've already done, then
right.
It's not going to happen.
But. Well, I'm not a musician, so to take that into account, but
okay.
you said in an interview that you came at this album from a different starting place on each song.
Well,
and I thought, what?
Well, that. Well, I mean, you know, like Ben's demos came in primarily as either pretty piano-based or acoustic guitar-based. And like with the last record, with Narrow Stairs, we went in and basically just put up mics and tracked it as live as we possibly could. It was sort of very much like what we were doing on stage.
Right.
And to get away from having that same thing happen again, we just tried to back away from that process and try and create a harmonic foundation for every song that wasn't necessarily built in a strummy acoustic guitar or a piano. So that was kind of the impulse.
Is that
the idea.
Is that a challenge? Is that difficult?
It's Yes,
it can be. Yeah, so? I think a lot of the songs could have easily been captured if we just wanted to make them sound, you know, like acoustic,
right,
rock. You know, I mean, but that's not something that we're necessarily interested in.
Am I high? And I actually might be because I'm on Percocet. But yeah. am I imagining it, or does this album have some real groove songs on it, even beyond what we've heard in previous records?
I think that's fair, and that's probably also a compliment. Thank you.
It is. No, it's meant to be a compliment.
One might call it groovy. Certainly groovy. Uh-huh.
I mean, you guys get into such a rhythm sometimes that I don't want this. Ben, I don't want you to come in and start singing because I want the music to keep playing. That's basically where I'm at in some of these songs.
Well, I feel the same way because I have to write lyrics. So, you know, it would be a lot easier if we could just be an instrumental band because I could save myself half the work.
All right, here's a boring, potentially hack question, Ben, but I have to ask you because I do enjoy your lyrics so much. Do they ever mean anything, or are you one of those guys who they're words that sound good together and it doesn't necessarily have to relate to a real thing?
I mean, I think they always relate to real things, but I think that, you know, as a songwriter, I think when you use first person, I think sometimes people make this assumption that everything that a songwriter is singing is something that it happened to them.
Right.
And it's a weird kind of authority and trust that we give singers, or
that's
specifically
sort of a
songwriters.
Given. That's almost a given that if you're writing songs, you're writing from your own perspective.
Yeah, and that's not always true. You know, I think that, you know, a lot of my songs are the amalgamations of a lot of different kind of storylines, some of which have happened to me, some of which have happened to other people that I know, and you kind of create outcomes that make the most sense for the song. And I think that, you know, I've always found it interesting that songwriters are really the only type of writer that people assume that if you're using first person, that that thing happened to the person who's singing it. And that's not always true.
Let me ask Chris this, because if one person comes up with the lyrics, that's not necessarily what you had in mind with the music or whatever. Is it strange for the non-lyric writing members of the band to be singing his lyrics? Because you didn't mean that necessarily when you came up with the music or whatever.
Well,
Is that weird?
I just assume that every time Ben says I, he's actually singing about me.
Oh, I see.
Singing from my perspective.
Okay.
He's just telling stories that I told him, and then he's turning them back.
And then I write them back, and
I
turn them back.
So it's no problem.
So we're like pen pals that way.
This is the voices of Def Cab for Cutie, Ben and Chris from the band NRCD. They're going to be performing live for us here in a few minutes. We just played You Are a Tourist, which was the first song released from this Codes and Keys. And I think it's one of the best songs you guys have ever done. And I love this lyric so much where you talk about, if you feel like the tourist in the city you were born, then it's time to go. It's so wanting. It just seems like there's so much. You're so unsettled when you sing something like that. Did that have its feet in the real world at all, Ben? Or is that just something that came out of your active imagination?
Yeah, I think it's you know, that line is certainly more reflective of where I've been in my life, in the sense that I live in Los Angeles now. I don't live in Seattle anymore. Mm-hmm. And you know, I love Seattle. The Northwest will always be, you know, where my roots are and where I'm from, and I will love it till the day I die. But, you know, I think that at a certain point for me, you know, I started to feel with the amount of traveling that we do, the amount of time we're away from home, you know, that's, I feel, you know, over the years, I lost touch with some things that, you know, I think if my life were different, I maybe wouldn't have. And
still feel like you belong there, and now you kind of don't?
Yeah, I mean, I'll always feel like I belong there.
Right.
But I think the line is somewhat of an embellishment, but it's certainly rooted in a feeling of, you know, when you spend a lot of time away from the people that, you know, your family, the people that you love, and then, you know, you come back after a couple of months and, you know, somebody had a kid, somebody else got married, these people
life's
broke
still
up.
Going
these
on
people,
and,
yeah, right, exactly. Right. And you come back and you assume that everything, you're walking right back into, as if, you know, life kind of hit the pause button and you're walking back in,
right,
you know, and picking back up. And that's really, I guess, as you get older, you realize that's not how it works. You know?
How do you like living in Los Angeles?
You know, I love it, actually. Yeah. I mean, counter to things I've maybe said in the past.
And songs.
On record. And, yeah. And, you know, and I think...
You hated Los Angeles in that song.
I did in that song.
Yeah.
But I the character.
The character.
Yeah.
The
character. Not him.
I'm
not
sorry.
Him.
Chris hated it in that song.
I hated
that
time. I did that one time.
No, I think...
I'm so mad at LA.
I think that... I think for me, you know, I mean, I've learned the thing about Los Angeles that, you know, you can only learn when you live here, is that this is really 10 little cities, you know?
Right,
and,
right.
Or 100.
Or 100, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also that, I think that my perspective on a lot of things has changed since the year 2000.
Yeah,
and
well.
I think that as you grow older, you're allowed to change your mind on things. You're allowed to kind of be open up, have things opened up to you that were not open at first. And I mean,
Chris,
Los Angeles is living anything for me.
Are you living in Portland, Chris?
I'm not. I'm living back in Seattle.
Oh, you're back. Wow.
Yeah, I moved back up from Portland, almost a year ago now.
I love that in a band you don't have to live in the same place anymore. Thank God that that exists in radio as well, because it works out well for us. But
I think that's quite a trick. I think you guys have done something remarkable.
It took us a long time to figure out how to do it, and we still have trouble.
Right.
We're still not good at it. Don't get us wrong. We're just doing it. Doesn't mean we're good at it. So. Death Cab for Cutie play in the Greek Theater. They're going to be there tomorrow night and Friday night with Frightened Rabbit, which I got the sense, reading your tweets, Ben, that you couldn't have been more excited to pick them as your opening act. You love those guys as much as I do, but they're that's a great match for you, for your crowd. I think you'll turn a lot of people onto them.
Yeah, I think that, we toured with them in Europe 3 years ago, and it was a horrific winter tour in Europe that was 14 shows in 15 days.
Ouch.
The routing was, we were in a bus, thankfully for us, but they were kind of trying to catch up to us in a van, and they were great sports about it, and that was probably the most harrowing trip we made on the last record. So I think that when we kind of were looking at people to maybe bring over to the States or just to tour with here in the States, we all enjoyed their company and loved them as people, and we loved their band, and it just made sense that we would kind of do a round two with them.
All right, one last question, because we know we're running short on time. We want to get some live music in. But now that you've moved, have you considered maybe rooting for a baseball team that can win?
How dare you? How dare you? I take so much grief from Kevin about the Mariners, Ben. I'm sure you hear it from your people, too.
Yeah, I do. I do.
But I don't even like baseball, but I just thought I'd take a shot.
Listen, it's one of those things, I've tried.
Yeah.
I've tried to kind of get into, other teams.
Yeah,
I've loved the Mariners since I was five.
I know. Once you're stuck, you're stuck.
And I'm stuck with this team sucks most of the time.
And they're so frustrating. Kevin, you're lucky you're not a baseball fan, because they were down 6-0 in the first inning last night.
Yes,
and then
sweet.
Came all the way back to tie at 6-6, then went on and just got destroyed for the whole rest of the game. And you just look at it and go, why can you do these things sometimes but not other times? They just break your heart every single day.
Yeah, it's constant pain.
pain.
But however, I also think that if the Mariners were ever to make it to the World Series, I would have to hole up, in a hotel somewhere by myself, because I would be going insane.
You'd just be going crazy.
The stress of something like that would be so all-encompassing that, I would make a preemptive strike and kick myself out of the house.
My wife leaves the house during the playoffs, back when the Mariners used to be in the playoffs. But she would leave the house. She would not want to be around me because I was too upset and too nervous and too tense.
I would like to suggest that neither of you are going to have that problem.
Probably not for a very long time.
It doesn't look like it.
Cubs versus Mariners, World Series, 2025.
Death Cab for Cutie is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Chris and Ben are going to go in the next room, and I guess it's going to be pretty stripped down, but I'm excited to hear what's coming out of there. So that'll be right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Chris Walla, Benjamin Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie in our studios here today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, you're sitting in with some cowbell or something, right? You going to help out a little bit here?
I can if need be. Yeah.
All right. What song you guys want to do first for us?
We're going to play a song called Stay Young, Go Dancing.
From the new album Codes and Keys, live Death Cab of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Life is sweet in the valley of the bean. In the belly of the beast, down with her song. In your heart, it can never bring you down. It can never bring you down. Lost in a maze of a thousand rainy days, of a thousand rainy days. But when I heard her voice, oh, it led me to the end. Yes, it led me to the end. 'Cause when she sings, I hear a symphony, and I'm swallowed in sound as it echoes through me. I'm
stay young. Oh, life is sweet in the valley of the beast, in the valley of the beast, and with her song in your heart, oh, it can never bring you down, it can never bring you down. I'm swallowed in sound as it echoes through me. Oh, how I feel alive. Through winter's advancing, we'll stay young, go dancing, stay young, go dancing, stay young, go dancing.
Come on, how about that?
That's Purdy.
That's the name
that
of my new
Purdy.
Autobiography, Stay Young, Go Dance.
Good luck with that.
I thought you said, at the beginning when I first heard that song, I thought you said, life is sweet in the belly of the bees. And I was like, what does he mean by that? The belly of the bees. Took me a while to figure that one out.
This is a Betty Chris from Death Cab for Cutie playing the Greek tomorrow night and Friday night. We have tickets you could win just for listening right now. If you want to call us at 1-800-520-1067. I hope we're not literally taking cash out of your pocket by giving these tickets away, guys, but they told us we had them to give away, so we're going to, okay?
All right. I mean, I guess that's what you guys got
to
do.
That's the way it has to work.
All right. We got time for one more. What do you guys think?
We're going to play a song. We'll play, I guess, is 6 years ago now an oldie? Can we call it an oldie now?
I think I was in high school when this next song came out.
Yeah, I think so. I'm sorry, Chris.
No, that's, yeah. I can't, I'm just a guy in a microphone.
Things move fast these days.
Yes, they do.
Move a little faster than they used to, but that's how we like it. Okay, we're going to play Soul Meets Body.
There you go.
I want to live where soul meets body, and let the sun wrap its arms around me, bathe my skin in water cool and cleansing. Feel what it's like to be new, 'cause in my head there's a Greyhound station where I send my thoughts to far off destinations, so they may have a chance of finding a place where they're far more suited than you.
about that?
That's nice. That
Live Death Cab for Cutie.
Beautiful stuff, guys. Codes and Keys, the current album, available on sale everywhere in stores and for download. You can see the band on stage at the Greek tomorrow night and Friday, then in Las Vegas this weekend. And then October, they're coming back to California for shows in Santa Barbara and San Francisco. Pleasure to have you on, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys.
Conan the Barbarian, the movie, long-awaited, coming out on Friday. We'll talk to one of the stars, actress Rachel Nichols, coming up in about 20 minutes. First, though, the band Kiss is in the news.
Who are these clowns?
Kiss? You don't know who Kiss is?
No. Never heard of them. They look like idiots to me.
No. Dude, these are four of the smartest guys who ever lived. They're these Jewish guys that grew up in New York, and they put on guitars and makeup to get girls, and all their songs are about f***ing.
I'm listening.
Yeah, right. Pretty sweet deal right there. What about Gene Simmons from the band Kiss, who joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now? Hey, Gene, how are you?
Good morning. How are you? Bean, Kevin, you're a powerful man. You're attractive. Beer mug, shalom.
Shalom, Gene.
And of course, Lisa May, how are you, my scarlet frosted bitch?
Wow.
Fine, Gene. Thank you.
Now, Gene, we've been
Wait, you know what? Oh, hold on. Before we get started, Lisa May, you are a traffic reporter. I have to let you know I'm traveling on the 405 right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's tremendous, tremendous congestion in the fast lane.
Okay.
Speaking of congestion in the lanes, you've got a lane I'd like to congest.
Okay. Oh, you know what, Gene? Really? Let's not start there.
I'm not sure you're even trying yet.
You know what I'm referring to? Are you aware?
Yeah, we got it. Now, Gene, the story that we've been telling all week is that you are going to be part of the Michael Jackson tribute concert, which struck us odd for two reasons. One, because you're a rock band, what song would you do? A Michael Jackson song. And two, you very publicly have stated that you believe Michael Jackson was a child molester.
It's true. But from a performance standpoint, I respected Michael Jackson very much. He was one of the first pop acts to really use showmanship, much like Kiss would do in the rock world.
Okay.
And I had a tremendous amount of respect for him as a performer. And if you analyze Michael Jackson as a performer, obviously he was afflicted with the impetigo and the skin disease. But above and beyond that, he was always willing to use a costume and oftentimes painted his face white, much like Kiss. Lisa May. Speaking of painting faces white.
Okay, I think we see where that one's going.
So Kiss was...
not to interrupt, Bean, I'm sorry, but you asked what song we would be performing. Kiss had been working very hard on a version of Beat It, a rock version.
Is that
Lisa
right?
May, speaking of
Beat It. Oh, for God's sake.
Okay. Wow. So the family canceled you when it came to light that you had been outspoken about those crimes that Michael Jackson was never convicted of, right? You know that, Gene.
Right. But, you know, I had to speak my mind. Gene Simmons has been that man who's been fully forthcoming and honest since the beginning of Kiss, since the beginning of my career. But since I made those comments approximately 3 years ago, the family's been hot on my tail. Lisa May, speaking of things that are hot on your tail, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, we get it. These are not difficult to understand.
Not subtle.
Right.
Lisa, just have sex with the guy so we can relieve all this tension, please.
That's just mean. Don't even say that.
Would that
me.
Help, Gene, if this just happened?
What, if Lisa May and I were to make love again?
Yes.
Again?
I'm sorry, what?
What?
Oh, there was that one night in 1981. It was myself. It was Peter Frampton. We turned Lisa May into a rotisserie.
It was a wobbly H?
That's right. One in each end. It was
okay. I think we understand.
Oh, dear God.
Okay, Gene, thank you.
Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show, time for yet another look at the show biz beat with our friend Ralph Garman. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, just still trying to recover from my annual Elvis death anniversary party I had last night.
Oh, yeah. Woo. You must have gone off.
Oh, man.
Legendary parties.
We were drinking, moonshine from a wooden cup. I was dancing in my blue suede shoes. I was eating peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
Sure.
I was taking a bunch of amphetamines and then taking a big hard squat on the old toilet there.
Oh, that's how you
going
go.
Face down into the shag carpeting. You know, just trying to recreate the magic that was the king.
Have you ever been to Graceland the week of the Elvis death anniversary?
No.
It's pretty shocking how huge it is every year. Thousands of people show up.
Yeah,
candlelight
that's why
vigils
I don't
on
go.
The street and oh, crazy.
See. Oh, do I have an option to be where thousands of rednecks are not? Then I choose to be where they are not.
Well, I think Elvis's fan base probably goes beyond rednecks, Ralph.
Yeah.
Just because it's in Tennessee doesn't mean there aren't people from all over the world who are celebrating Elvis.
Okay, I stand corrected. Do I have an option to be not where 10,000 douchebags who are worshiping Elvis's death day are? Then I choose to be not.
Yes, that's correct.
Then that's why I've never been there. Yeah. I have been to Graceland, however, just not on any of the cuckoo days.
Right.
Where they show up 34 years later with candles as if something's going to happen.
Yeah.
And they're serious.
Yeah. Oof. They leave messages for him in the walls outside Graceland.
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's like the wailing wall. It's like the prayer wall in Israel. They think something's going to happen. He's going to answer them. Anyway, the only reason I bring it up is I got a giggle out of the fact that Michelle Bachmann, who is, of course, a hopeful for the Republican presidential candidacy, wished Elvis Presley a very happy birthday yesterday on the campaign stop.
That's nice.
Oh, that was sweet of her. Completely ignoring the fact that it was, in fact, the anniversary of his death, not his birthday at all. Subtle difference, yet one that was important, apparently, to Elvis fans worldwide.
It wouldn't have killed her to get that right.
It seems like a quick Google. Just a quick Google.
Yeah.
Even on your iPhone, you could check that one out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Magic. More politics and showbiz. Crossing swords. Bush is reunited. See what I did there?
See?
Because they're a band, but it was also the name of two presidents. Mm-hmm. They're having their new album released on September the 13th. It's called The Sea of Memories. The band is set to hit the road that night in Billings, Montana. That's when the tour starts, and tour wraps up October the 28th in San Antone, as they say down there in Texas. Chevelle and Filter will be opening all the shows, so for Bush fans, you can see them on the road.
They're back.
They are back. Abercrombie & Fitch, the very popular clothing store, has made an announcement today. They are willing to offer a very substantial payment to the cast of the Jersey Shore if they will stop wearing their clothes. The brand said today that they worry the association with the Jersey Shore could cause significant damage to our image. We understand that the show is for entertainment purposes, they go on, but believe this association is contrary to the aspirational nature of our brand.
I've never heard of this.
And may be distressing to many of our fans, they say. So they're asking Snooki et al. To stop wearing A&F clothing, and they will give them a tidy sum if they will agree to do so.
So many companies try to spend money to get them to wear clothes. I've never heard of paying to stop to wear
this
clothes.
Is genius, because this is just as good advertising as paying for them to wear it, and yet right. You get to stand up against all things douchebaggy and look like the good guys. So yep. I applaud their marketing firm for this announcement, and I applaud what they do and the sweaty, hot men who stand outside their stores and pose.
I've never been allowed into A&F because I'm not good-looking enough. You know, they screen you right there at
they
the
do.
Door.
There's a velvet rope.
There's a velvet rope.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't even know what they sell in there. But
women go right in.
Right.
I had Kathy would put me as his plus one. So I was able to go in. I was on
able
the
to
list.
Buy a T-shirt, were you?
Yeah. Well, no, I couldn't buy anything, but they would let
no.
me in.
Okay.
Me. If there's anybody out there who would like me not to wear anything that they make, I'm open for business. I will
sure.
I will take all comers. If you'd like me to not wear Affliction or not wear, I don't know, anything Ed Hardy makes or any of those clothing lines that are really hip and cool, if you'd like me to stay away from them, give me a couple bucks and I'd be happy to do so.
Gap.
Very generous.
Really anything.
Gap, yeah, really. Hanes underwear. Yeah, I'll not wear anything. I'm a whore when it comes to not wearing things. So I would like to have the same offer the Jersey Shore kids are getting. That's what I'm saying. Oh, looks like a big hubbub over there on the talk.
Big
you
what?
Know the talk. A hubbub.
Hubbub.
The talk is CBS's answer to The View.
Right.
Which is a bunch of hens cackling in the morning about stuff. And I mentioned yesterday that it looks like Leah Remini and Holly Robinson Pete would not be returning because their contracts have not been renewed.
Right.
But we still do get the lovely Julie Chen.
Hey!
Hey!
And we get Sharon Osbourne and we get Sarah Gilbert. Now we may know why. According to the New York Post, it was Julie Chen's queen bee attitude that was causing strife amongst the other cast members.
But she's still there.
She is there, yeah. Well, not for nothing, but she's married to the president of CBS. That's all I'm saying. So if there was problems between her and someone else, I'm guessing they would probably side on her side.
Gotcha.
But reportedly word came down on the show that no one on the show was allowed to discuss the Casey Anthony trial without her because, in her words, she was the only host with journalistic credentials.
What?
And some of the other girls balked at that idea.
Well, because that's absurd.
Causing stress and tension amongst the cast. Also, Leah Remini, who's, once again, her contract was not picked up, she was, she had problems with some of the other girls because her mother would come to the show every day.
Okay.
And would park in other people's assigned parking spaces.
Really?
Yeah. So that's what kind of infighting you get over there at the talk.
Wow.
It would be even sadder if anyone watched that show, I think.
Yeah.
Luckily, we've all been spared. And Billy Crystal may be the host of the Oscars yet again. Billy told a fan this week that he is open to hosting the Oscars maybe one or two more times before he officially calls it quits. And Brett Ratner, who is co-producing the Oscars this year, you may know him from Rush Hour and other popular films. He said he's too busy wrapping up his current film before he gets into producing the Oscars, so he didn't have to really make a decision until mid-September, but he was open to having a conversation with Billy, so hopefully he'll be the host again. That would be cool, because he's the best host, I think, of that show.
He is the best. So I can understand why he wouldn't want to revisit it and, you know, potentially tarnish his legacy, because we all remember him as being the best, so you put one subpar performance up there, and now you're at risk. But
yeah, but what's his batting average? He's done what, 6 times?
Yeah,
he's always great. Time has been, at his worst moments, he's been good.
Right.
Which is not what you can say about a lot of the other hosts. I don't think he has anything to worry about with that gig. He seems to have got it down. So I hope it comes to pass. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Mark Salling of Glee. He's Puck on that show. 29 years old today. Donnie Wahlberg, famously of New Kids on the Block, is 42. They're really not the New Kids on the Block at 42,
are
they?
Not really anymore.
Gilby Clark of Guns N' Roses, 49 years old. Sean Penn and Robert De Niro are two excellent actors who share a birthday. Sean is 51. Robert De Niro is 68 today. And Kevin Rowland of Dexy's Midnight Runners, he's 58 years old. Have Mumford and Sons come in and do a cover of that. I think that sounds like a very Mumfordy song.
Sure does.
I think they would. God, I think they would get along very well, those two bands. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
So yesterday I'm in surgery, getting the belly button finally fixed. I'm supposed to be asleep right now on lots of drugs, but you know why I'm not, Kevin? Because Rachel Nichols is on the phone.
I know. Rachel Nichols is on the phone.
I pulled out my IV, threw away my drugs, and raced into the studio just so I could talk to Rachel today. How are you, sweetheart?
I am fantastic. I'm so thrilled that you could be around. I was told that you would be incapacitated.
Yeah, and I was, but I know how the guys are, and I know that they would try to separate us. They try to turn you against me. I don't need haters trying to break us up. You know what I'm saying, Rachel?
But I completely agree and understand. I have always suspected that you might have, you know, given Kevin food poisoning for Comic-Con since sure. Kevin wasn't able to make
he
it.
He wasn't there, right?
Listen, I wanted to so bad. I hate that, but we try to break you up when you're on the phone, when you're here, Bean. I mean, we don't do that behind your back.
But, I vividly remember when the feed was cut that time. That was yes. That was an ugly
Now, Rachel, before we talk about Conan the Barbarian, which is finally here, opening up everywhere on Friday, before we get to that, let's relive the magic of you and me together on July 22nd, on that Friday in Comic-Con. Now, Rachel has been on the show many times. She's always been very generous with her time. We've always enjoyed having her on for all of her projects. Yet, after all the time we've talked, we had never met in person. And I was nervous like a little schoolgirl that day to finally get to meet you. In your mind, how did it go, Rachel?
Well, first of all, I love the fact that while I was doing that other interview out in the hall, you took a picture of me and posted it and was like, she's actually here. I saw that later, and I was like, well done.
Yeah.
I thought it went fantastic. You know, I rapped for you guys, if you remember.
Yes, you did. And, you know, it was awesome.
Then we got some Jason in there, and you know, he's incredibly loud and entertaining. And you and I, there were you know, hugs and embraces and pictures taken.
Rachel, you don't have any idea.
I'll handle
what,
this. Let me handle this, Kevin.
What this kind of talk from a hot chick does to a dork. You just don't know the damage you're doing.
How dare you? But you have to admit, I was far more attractive in person than you ever imagined. Right, Rachel?
Far more attractive in person than I had ever imagined.
Sure.
And by the way, so was Rachel, if you could believe that. It's one thing to see her on the TV. You know, Kevin, you've seen Rachel.
Of course.
You just can't believe she's real.
Yeah. And it's but it is the opposite with you, Bean.
How
I mean, it really is.
You were much more charming and debonair than your cardboard cutout that I've seen.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, are you speaking with us? Are you back in Cleveland working on this other movie?
I'm in Cleveland, yeah. I just got back to Cleveland yesterday.
You travel more than anyone I've ever met, by the way. You're in New York, and then you're in Maine, and then you're in L.A., and then you're in Vancouver, and then you're in Cleveland. It's crazy, your schedule.
I know. It's a good thing that I lost that fear of flying. Otherwise, I'd be a complete wreck all of the time.
I got to tell you.
You know, traveling for work, so I've got to be excited about that. And Cleveland, and then Detroit later on in September. I'm
I'm expecting to have some fun. I've been people have given me some great restaurant recommendations.
You are telling us things that we already know, and I'll tell you why. We're just a normal day. We're talking about other things, and we hear this. It looks like Rachel Nichols is in Cleveland today.
I like to stay current, you know.
We go, I don't know that we need an update daily on Rachel Nichols. I love her too, but really a daily update.
Like, I really don't need a daily dose.
I'm saying too much, maybe. I would talk to you every day, but I don't need to know your schedule.
Yeah,
Rachel,
well, you know,
what's the airline you want to blow up? What's that? What's going on with that? That airline that you now hate more than any other, and why?
Oh my God! I'm sorry. Everybody's going to kill me. I was on Continental yesterday, and they were really, 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 really rude. And I've actually haven't quite. I'm a big fan of United. I fly United a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't
they the same company now?
With Continental.
Yeah.
And I've heard that United is going to accept the sort of laissez-faire attitude of Continental.
Oh.
And I'm upset that Continental is going to be ruining United. And I was
now are you
early, and I was verbalizing it on Twitter yesterday.
Are you a high maintenance traveler?
No. I asked for a pillow, and they didn't have any.
Well. I mean, you could bring down an airplane with a pillow. Come on, you know that. That's too dangerous to hand out to passengers.
But what? I mean, they always have them on United and Virgin. And
what a prissy
American
flyer you are.
I know. That's all I ask for.
Come
for a pillow.
On.
I don't have any.
I need a pillow and somebody to rub my feet.
I don't need to rub. I can rub my own feet. Oh, and my go back.
And your what? Oh, your chair didn't go back?
I hate when
well,
that happens.
Yeah, I hate that too.
It's the flight from hell. You've practically been to war, Rachel. That's I can't believe you survived that kind of shoddy treatment.
I mean, really, God, how do I do it?
We were talking to you in San Diego. Of course, you were there with Jason, who's just delightful, by the way.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We were talking about The Conan the Barbarian, which is finally out on Friday. Rose McGowan also in the movie. Got a great cast, great background, great script, and it seems like the movie you've been kind of most excited about in a long time that you've done, right?
Yeah, I'd never been to Comic-Con before, which was really exciting for me because you get to see all these people that, you know, really are a huge contingent of them make the movie industry continue to run. They're
right.
Lots of avid fans, and it's really fascinating to see. I was really excited about Conan because it was completely different from a lot of the stuff that I'd done, although there is a lot of action in it, which I seem to do a lot of nowadays, which has been really fun. But yeah, I was really excited about it, and I was excited for Jason, too, because I think he did a great job.
Do you have much dialogue?
You know, the Conan franchise is a franchise of you know, few words, especially Conan himself. He is, after all, a barbarian. He's
sure.
Not about to start giving speeches or anything. So the dialogue is minimal, but it does exist. It's certainly not we're not doing a silent film here.
Right. Okay. But you're a badass in this movie, too.
I'm kind of a badass. I'm a good girl, but I'm a badass, yeah.
Love it.
And it was super fun. And, you know, I get to play with swords and learn how to ride horses and be in Bulgaria for 3 months. So.
See, this is why some people get into acting, is you get to, like, live out every fantasy you had from the time you were a little kid. You get to be somebody else. You get to put on the outfit and be that person. And I guess that's what keeps, you know, so many people coming back
and
to it.
Live in Bulgaria for 3 months.
Yeah, that was it. Bulgaria was the perfect place to shoot Conan. I won't be recommending it for vacation.
Yeah.
I think the Bulgarian Travel Board is going to hunt me down. And
it's not a destination stop that everyone's looking forward to.
That's the place that tried to kill you, right? With like the flesh eating bacteria or something, right?
Yeah, it was a very even my parents visited me when I was in Bulgaria because they love me and they visit everywhere.
Uh-huh.
They actually didn't want to leave me in the country when they left. I think they told me.
What an unbelievable complainer you are.
One flesh-eating bacteria all of a sudden down on a country.
No, but I'm saying the airline and the whole country and what else? What else do you hate?
you know what? There's not a lot else that I hate.
Okay, all right.
Rachel is
actually eating tongue. Other than that,
you don't like eating tongue. Okay.
No.
Rachel is actually very loving. I think we've just hit on a couple of sore spots with her today. That's all.
You know, I was early in the morning yesterday, and I was very crabby. I'm sure Continental will be calling me, asking me not to say bad things about them anymore.
I just can't believe you don't travel with your own pillow because you seem to fall in love with your possessions and name them all. I'm surprised you don't have your own.
I travel with my own pillow. I have a pillow that I've had with me since I was a child, and I was going to bring it. And then I thought, no, you know what? I'm just going to use the pillow on the plane this time because I'm probably not going to sleep a lot, but I want to snooze. But I've got too much baggage as it is, and then I was sorely disappointed.
And why is no one doing my nails?
Where is my masseuse?
Right. All right. We are out of time, Rachel. You know, we always love catching up with you on the show. You're always very, very sweet to us, and we appreciate it. And the movie does look, as I told you when I saw you in San Diego, it looks freaking awesome. I mean, I really can't wait to see this movie on Friday, and you should too. Conan the Barbarian opening up everywhere. Rachel, please stay in touch, my dear.
I will. Thank you guys so much. Have a great day.
Bye now. Bye-bye. Hey, Ralph Garman. What's going on, man?
Not much, Stitch. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. Glad your belly button's back where it belongs.
I'm looking forward to seeing my new innie. Once I get the bandages off, I'll have an innie again.
Wait. Why do they call it a belly button? When you press it, nothing happens. It's more like a buttonhole. But if that's the case, where's the button that goes in the hole? I wonder.
Were these some of the questions I was asking earlier before I was on the show?
These are some of the tweets you were tweeting during the surgery. Yes.
News to me.
Speaking of Bean, this email comes from listener Edwin. I always appreciate
a lot of my tweets are news to me too, Bean. Back to you, Ralph. Yeah, that's true.
I always like it when Edwin writes in. No wonder Bean loves Rachel Nichols. She's a female Bean. I couldn't take my pillow on the plane. I hate Bulgaria. Can you imagine these two on a trip together? Edwin writes. Some true words were never written. That's why Bean loves her. She's like a female hot Bean.
Yeah, she's hot. I was going to say that is a big difference.
Well, still.
Yeah. You know,
inside, where it counts.
Yeah.
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 Kim Kardashian's mom is following her into the fashion world. Kim Kardashian Jenner announced today that she's launching her own line of clothes on the QVC this fall.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Can't wait for Lisa's Christmas present this year.
No.
Hopefully it'll be a Kris Jenner skirt or something. It'll be spectacular. She's going to launch it during the Shopping Channel's live New York Fashion Week broadcast on September the 8th.
So happy for her.
You can only get the finest clothes over there in the QVC, you know.
Sure.
So I'm glad Kris finally has a camera pointed at her, which is what she has always wanted. I think it's the only reason she had kids is so that she could have a reality show so she could be on television.
Which she's had too much of already.
Yeah. She likes it.
Yeah.
We're going to have to wait until August the 29th during ABC's Bachelor Pad to hear the official announcement of who will be dancing with the stars this year.
Hey, Ralph, how is that Bachelor Pad? I know you said you were kind of looking forward to it. Is it good?
Oh, it's so exciting. It's so wildly entertaining. They take all the lunatics from all the cast-offs from Bachelor and Bachelorette, and they put them in one house, and they dangle $250,000 in front of their faces, and they just can't stop stabbing each other in the back and lying about each other and making each other cry, and they make them do these wacky challenges where they really get their feelings hurt. Like they say, all right, all the girls get blindfolded, and they ask the guys, pick the girl you think is least attractive in the house and pelt her with these eggs. So it's not bad enough that these women are getting pelted with eggs, but the one who gets hit with the most eggs knows she's considered the least attractive girl in the house.
Jeez.
So she is reduced to tears by the end of the event. It's endlessly entertaining.
And do they eliminate contestants along the way, and then you're the last man standing, you win? Is that how it works?
The girls vote the guys out, and the guys vote the girls out, and then whoever's left in the house at the end wins the $250,000. And it's great. It's like it's the same lunacy as The Bachelor and Bachelorette, but all the pretense of romance is just stripped away, and it's just shallow, attractive, insecure people just killing each other trying to get money.
Sweet. I should be surprised that more people on reality shows don't commit suicide.
Yeah, I guess you should. That one girl was pelted with the egg. She's like, I don't know why they don't think I'm attractive. She's got a like egg all over her.
Did she get hit by more than one person?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
They loaded up on her. So she knows every time they ask this question, she's the one getting hit with the eggs.
All right, throw out the eggs again.
And there were egg shells that had the eggs taken out and was replaced with paint. So it's like blue, green, and red paint and stuff. So when the time was over, she was like all stained and in tears.
God.
That's wonderful. Awful. Wonderful.
Wow.
Hilarious. Anyway, we got to wait till Bachelor Pad on the 29th of August to find out the official lineup. But here is the rumored cast list for Dancing with the Stars for the upcoming season. Okay. We've heard Rob Kardashian, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else do you need with that kind of star power?
I'm surprised Kris Kardashian didn't elbow her way into the show somehow.
No kidding.
Tiffany Thiessen, formerly, of course, Spice from Saved by the Bell, now currently on White Collar. I'd like to see her dance. She's a pretty girl.
Sure.
Kristen Cavallari.
Sure.
Luna Beach in the Hills.
Fine.
That'd be good.
Good.
Chyna Phillips of the band Wilson Phillips.
She's not.
She's attractive.
She's the attractive one, right?
Yeah, she's blonde lead singer.
Okay.
Queen Latifah. Well, you got to have some livestock hoofing it up out there, don't you?
Someone to lose weight.
That's right. Christina Milian.
Oh.
She's attractive.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson. How great would it see Mike Tyson?
That would be great.
Dancing with one of the girls who is the pro, and then he gets frustrated and bites her ear off while they're dancing. How great would that be?
Or worse, cool. Or knowing worse, Mike Tyson. Yeah.
And then potentially Snooki. Nicole Snooki Polizzi of Jersey Shore. Also rumored. Wow. So that could be the list, but again, we won't know the official list until the 29th. But I'll keep you posted.
It is funny, though, that even the stars, and this show has done a great job with the casting, although they don't get everyone they want, even people that you don't care about, like Bristol Palin, end up becoming a sensation as a result of being on this show, yep, for whatever reason. You know, lots of people that you never expected were going to do great did really, really well.
True. Bean, this has got everything for you.
All right.
It's got show business.
Okay.
Mixed with the U.S. Postal Service.
Wow. Tell me more.
Bruce Lee's family is looking to get Bruce put on a U.S. postage stamp.
Yay!
Believe it or not, if this comes to pass, he would be the first Asian-American entertainer ever to be on a U.S. postage stamp.
Wow. That's surprising. Interesting.
So Bruce's daughter, Shannon Lee, is starting a campaign to get Bruce's photo on a U.S. postage stamp. If you're interested, like I am, I'm a big Bruce Lee fan, you can go to brucelee.com, and then you can click on the stamp page there, and they will give you all the information. They're trying to get a petition online and trying to send letters and emails to the U.S. Postal Service to get them to consider putting Bruce on a stamp.
I'd like to great idea.
I'd like to see him get a stamp, but yeah. I'm not going to go vote and try and turn
it takes you 30 down. Seconds. BruceLee.com. Just click on it.
Right. I don't,
just fill in your name. Hit add my name to the petition.
Good luck.
Just do it.
I don't care that much.
You don't have to care. Just do the right thing.
I wish good things for this. I hope it comes out the right way.
You don't, obviously.
I do.
You won't,
Kevin,
spend
you're willing to live in a world where other people decide who's on your postage stamps? Come on.
Yes.
Take control of your life, Kevin.
I don't really care who's on a postage stamp.
Influence your power.
I hope he gets it.
If you don't vote, you're part of the problem, not part of the solution.
That's what I hear.
Who's on a stamp.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
I'm surprised Charlie Chan hasn't had one. He was a big-time movie star for a long time.
He was a fictional character. Wasn't a real dude, Charlie Chan.
Oh, I guess I'm thinking of those movies. Those movies were actors playing Charlie Chan, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, probably not then. Not appropriate.
More Percocet. Yeah. Table number two.
I took it about 20 minutes ago. I am starting to get a little wobbly. I'm trying to time it for the end of the show. Apparently, I missed.
And congratulations to Miley Cyrus. She was just inducted into the Celebrity Bowling Hall of Fame.
Yes!
Yeah. Kevin voted for that. He won't vote for the stamp, but he voted for the Bowling Hall of Fame.
Bowling Hall of Fame is important.
Yeah, Bowling Proprietors of America get together once a year and choose their favorite celebrity bowlers. She got 42% of the vote this year. That's significant. That's a landslide in the bowling world. Yeah.
I don't really know the bowling world.
Yeah.
But is she a good bowler, or does that matter?
I have no idea what the connection is.
How does anyone know?
Justin Bieber came in second place for the second year in a row. Always a pin setter, never a strike. That's what they say. That's the old bowling
no
world.
One says
everyone
that.
Says
not
that.
A person has ever yeah. said that once.
Other big name contenders this year were Kim Kardashian, Lil Wayne, Lady Gaga, and Jeff Bridges. One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah.
You ever see Lady Gaga bowling? I can't imagine. Mm-mm. Unless she throws a ball of meat down the aisle, down the lane. Today's celebrity birthday is Mark Salling. He is Puck on Glee. He's 29 years old today. Donnie Wahlberg of New Kids on the Block. And also, I was reminded rather vigorously from our listenership, he is also on Blue Blood, which I think is a show on the Lisa Network.
It's with Blue Tom Blood. Selleck?
Yes. Tom Selleck.
Another cop, right?
Donnie yeah. Wahlberg.
Or something?
Blue Blood.
Yep, he's a cop.
He's a cop on Blue Blood.
Okay.
Gilby Clark.
And people felt strongly enough about that.
Yeah, hey, you're forgetting his work on Blue Blood. He's on Blue Blood. And I said, I'm sorry, I was not aware of the Blue Blood, but I will certainly...
Everybody has to have the stuff they care about,
I will
I guess.
Correct that statement the That's next time I mention one. His birthday. Gilby Clark of Guns N' Roses is 49 years old today. Sean Penn and Robert De Niro share a birthday today. De Niro's 68, Sean Penn is 51. Kevin Rowland of Dexy's Midnight Runners celebrates his 58th birthday today. Probably if he could have anything for his birthday, he'd like to not hear this song.
We got to play it.
It's all he's got. It is all he's got. Oh, good old Eileen.
Yeah.
She's a good time, that Eileen.
Chris.
I'm Ralph Garman. I welcome to show. Chris.
Chris.
Who's Chris?
Gross.
Chris.
Yeah, why don't you put that on your list of
Chris.
Of sound bites to take off your machine.
Now you're
there
ensuring that I use it for the rest of the week.
It's crap.
Chris.
We don't know who Chris is. We don't know who Chris is.
Chris.
Gross. Why do you keep asking for Chris?
He's saying
Chris.
No, he's not.
He is. He's saying gross.
He may be, but that clip is not, nor are you.
Okay, should I get rid of the clip?
Yes!
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, a brand new program Thursday morning. We have Jeremy Piven on the program.
Piv!
Talking about Entourage final season.
So good Sunday night, by the way.
Spike It's 4. We have a brand new internet roundup for you. We have Chester Bennington from Linkin Park in studio. And we have Breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers tickets to give you as well tomorrow on the Kevin and Percocet Show.